frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission:
to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Crap.
Operator, give me the number for 911.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0, blast off!
I got a laptop. I make music with my friends. I've got a laptop, baby. I make music with my friends.
He's got a laptop. There it is. He's got a laptop.
God's name is going on in here. What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.
I got a ton of things to say, all kinds of things to talk about, and some pods to play to try to get my point across. Everyone out there knows that old crazy Oshas is, when it comes down to free energy, won't hold his tongue, so I'm, getting mouthy once in a while. Got to do it because mad science is what mad science is because of the energy lies. It's flat out, whenever you go out there to look to the laws of physics, there's supposed laws of physics set in place that state you can't do certain things, but then whenever you use the laws of physics to your advantage, there are those who wish to pretty much deny or disparage, basically discourage people from doing things that they claim they really want. But you know how it goes. That's what's what in the whole alternative energy research department. See, they claim that there's no such thing as free energy, but many times you've heard me quote their own laws of physics that says that energy can neither be created nor destroyed. So where's it go? Where'd it come from? And even in those same laws of physics, it talks about how you can actually change energy from one form to the next. So with that said, it's not about the fact that we don't have enough energy or that it takes more energy to do certain things. It's just about the fact that you got a battle going on out there against everything that they claim that they really want. You know, if the system said they needed clean, renewable, alternative energy. They even said that they needed to be energy independent so that we weren't having wars over oil. You go all the way back to Tesla's time, you'll find out that during those times, whenever he was trying to give things to the world, you know, to benefit everybody, that he came up against financial problems and other problems as well. But even to this very day, you've got people out there who claim to be for the so-called planet, but yet they continue to do everything and say everything contrary to what would be beneficial for the Earth or the planet or whatever you want to call it. Anyway, they'll try to say all kinds of negativity about, Tesla and things that, they believe from the propaganda that they've researched themselves. Now here on Shazoo's Radio and People for People Radio Network and all the other affiliated networks, we share information freely with everybody. We're not asking anybody for anything, with exception is just share the message that we're trying to put out there to the world. There are solutions to the so-called energy crisis. Energy lies, more like it, is that they say that we're destroying our planet, yet they want to try to debunk everything that has to do with the terminology of free energy. So maybe free energy ain't the way to talk about it. Maybe it's energy efficiency. Maybe it's learning how to use energy in a completely different manner than before. But either way, in order to set the stage of what it is that I'm trying to point out to everybody, that I just can't seem to get the message across for whatever reason, I'm going to play a couple different things. And while you're listening to these, listen closely to what a lot of people are saying, and it'll make more sense to you of what it is that I'm trying to point out, because here's the folks that are sitting there trying to say that we got to save the planet, we got to reduce our carbon emissions and all that craziness. Y'all know how I feel about that by now, and you know that if you've been listening to me for a long time, OSHA's is about to get mouthy when it comes down to people talking about climate change, climate disruption, or global warming, whatever's going to be next week when the math don't add up, because the science isn't there, but the science is there to show that if we use energy properly and respectfully with nature, of course, that we wouldn't have to be digging up the ground all the time and tearing this beautiful world up. There's ways to do this. But the hypocrisy of the mainstream system is that you got one side of the snake fighting for power and control to keep the coal industry and fossil fuel, so-called fossil fuel. You know how I feel about that as well. There ain't no such thing as fossil fuel. But nonetheless, we'll get to all that later. But this two sides of the same snake are sitting there fighting and, basically eating itself alive, trying to tell everybody that there ain't no such thing as free energy, that you can't get something for nothing, and so on down the line. Well, you can get something for nothing. Look, just in duckweed alone, you could make a ton of biofuel. You could make a ton of food for fish and wildlife and even people if it's done properly. and you can recycle last year's fertilizer by understanding how the mechanics of nature actually functions. So there's no way that you're ever going to run out of this, what they call so-called fossil fuel. It's not physically possible. It's not scientifically possible. And you try to explain this to the world, and you constantly come under the gun of people who claim to be educated, but their words and their actions speak contrary to what it is that they're trying to proclaim to you. All right, we either do need clean energy or we don't need clean energy. Make your mind up. But even if we don't go to clean energy, and even if we stayed on fossil fuel, we have the technology available to quite literally make perfect burning fuel, internal combustion engines that will recycle what would have otherwise been the waste. And so, you know, with that type of knowledge available, and yet you can't get nobody to, you know, move towards that type of model. See, Tamaj in the chat room talked about two things we need to do is, you know, fix, redo the grid. That's a definite. We got wires strung all over the place and underground and everywhere. And, you know, if we wouldn't buy Tesla's deal, we wouldn't even have needed a power grid like that. But nonetheless, that's one of the things he said. And I said they need to work on batteries, too. Well, yeah, batteries are good, but I think that someday that batteries are going to go by the wayside and we're going to be using capacitance instead of your standard type of battery. We might use batteries as a booster to a new system or something like that, but we wouldn't need nearly the amount of batteries, and we wouldn't need the different types of dangerous materials that, you know, you obviously wouldn't want to throw into the landfill, because they'd eventually, you know, work their way down into the waterways and, you know, do a little bit of polluting and stuff like that. But don't get me wrong, I'm not one of those folks that believes in pollution as the standard model is actually said. You can see that you know, people trashed the place. You can see that just with natural disasters that the place gets trashed. But I want to say this. I've said this I don't know how many times, but I'm going to probably say it a million more times if necessary, that nature breaks down everything. There is nothing that man has ever made that nature cannot break down and put back into its natural state. Now, You're going to hear people say, well, it takes thousands of years to get rid of plastic. Well, no, it don't take thousands of years, but, you know, give the devil his due. If that's what you're saying, that it's a problem and it takes thousands of years to get rid of the plastic, then why not humor somebody who's telling you that you could recycle this in such a incredible fashion that you could actually never have to pump any more oil out of the ground? If you look into what plastics are actually made of, they're petroleum products, and they, with the right chemistry, can be you know, basically broke back down just like nature would have done it otherwise, and you know, recycled back into the system. And then with advancements to the internal combustion engine, you could take and make these exhausts so clean that you wouldn't even be able to tell you was running coal or, you know, grass clippings or whatever to run that engine. It's all the same stuff, folks. It's all the same doggone energy when you're talking about the so-called fossil fuels. It's just, it's mind-blowing that you can't get... You suppose some of these people are actually supposed to be real brilliant scientists, you know. I'm going to start off with this little podcast right here and see where we go from there.
It's the Real News Network. I'm Sharmini Peres, coming to you from Baltimore. Elon Musk's Tesla recently installed the largest grid-scale lithium battery to be paired with a wind farm in South Australia. Somewhat predictably, the coal industry in Australia lobbied against it and, in fact, had previously blamed renewable energy for South Australia's statewide blackouts that occurred after massive storms. But was renewable energy at fault for power outages? And is the sparking new Tesla mega battery the game changer for renewable energy that Elon Musk and others would have us believe. Earlier this week, I spoke with Tim Hollow from Canberra, Australia, who is the executive director of the Green Institute and author of the recent article published in The Guardian titled "Elon Musk's Big Battery Brings Reality Crashing into Post-Truth World." I thank you so much for joining us, Tim.
Thank you very much for having me.
So, Tim, first, before we discuss the politics of all of this, is the Tesla battery a potential game changer in terms of energy storage and the viability of renewable energy?
Look, I think it is one of many game changers that we're just seeing coming one after the other at the moment around the world in the development of renewable energy. It's certainly going to make a huge difference to the way renewable energy is perceived, I believe. But, you know, it's really based on the fact that there's been this solid post-truth, as I put it, critique of renewable energy coming for years, which has never really held a lot of truth to it. You know, in Northern Europe, there's countries which have not used battery technology, but have had very, very large amounts of renewable energy in their grids, the northern half of Germany, Denmark, and have managed to balance their grids very, very effectively with good computer technology and good management. I think Tesla's high profile and their, you know, the way they operate can be a game changer as much as their technology, in fact, in some ways.
So what is the political backdrop to all of this coming about, Tim? Is the coal industry floundering in Australia as it is in the US here?
Steps behind the US in terms of the floundering, but yes, absolutely, it is happening. Coal is mounting its last stand in Australia as it is around the world. And its backers in politics and in the media have been using, you know, this opportunity, as they use every opportunity they can, to try to undermine the growth of renewable energy. They are, particularly those in politics, I think those who don't actually have a very direct financial stake, the really big problem that they have is that renewable energy lends itself to decentralization and therefore to democratization of the energy grid. And that means that it's much more difficult for very large corporations to maintain the hugely profitable control that they have. So they're doing everything they can to undermine that, to slow it down, to hold it back, but it's not working. We're seeing huge coal mining developments that would have gone ahead a few years ago not happen here in Australia, not because the governments are blocking them, because actually the governments want them to go ahead, but because the market for coal is evaporating. And Australia's coal market is more for export to countries like India and China than it is locally. But with local coal-fired power stations closing down and with India and China increasingly turning to renewables as a better solution, the market's evaporating and the coal industry is really starting to flounder here.
And is there a growing pushback going on in terms of the Tesla battery's capabilities and the coal being phased out? Is there a pushback from the coal industry?
Since the battery has actually been implemented, there hasn't been a lot of noise, which is what I was predicting, and which is a really positive sign that actually this battery is going to make a difference. There was a huge outcry at the time and before it. So, as you said in your introduction, I think the trigger for it was a series of blackouts that happened in the state of South Australia, which were triggered by some really massive storms that we had. And what happened was that those storms brought down the high voltage electricity wires, which tripped the system, and the whole state of South Australia essentially was blacked out for a period of time. Now, what happened then was that the coal companies and their political backers and their media backers immediately jumped on this, because South Australia has long been a leader in renewable energy development, in particularly wind, but also solar power. And they blamed renewable energy, when in fact it was the high voltage wires that went down in the storm, and it wouldn't have mattered what the supply was. It wouldn't have made any difference what the supply was. So they used that as an opportunity to attack renewable energy, and they did so.
I'll pause that just for a second. Tamaj in the chat room said that most wires have been there 50 plus years, and that's pretty much this guy's talking about how the power wires went down over there. Well, you got that problem just about everywhere over here during ice storms or, you know, thunderstorms or things like that, tree limbs falling down, ripping wires down. And so you can knock a whole section of people out of power just because of those wires dangling everywhere. And, you know, you could, if you're smart enough, you could have told, seen the writing on the wall ahead of time what possibly could go wrong. Even to the extent of somebody wrecking their vehicle and knocking down a power pole or something like that, or running into a transformer, there's all kinds of ways for the system to fail. But, you know, let's keep on moving here, because there's a lot to cover.
Very, very viciously. And then when Elon Musk came around, through an interesting coincidence of Twitter conversations, they turned on him quite nastily as well and said that this was not the right solution. Well, it's a solution which has been adopted, which is now in place. And interestingly enough, there's been radio silence, basically, from the critics since then.
Now, Tim, Yale University report in October of 2017 found that more than 70% of Americans now believe in climate change, and over half of the Americans.
I would like to know who all these Americans were that supposedly believe in this. See, this is the problem. They go out and take these doggone polls. They poll the just a certain amount of people on there, and suddenly that equates into 70%. I don't care if you poll 1,000 people. There's 200 and almost 320 million people in the United States alone. So you poll 1,000 people, and the majority of those say 70% of those say that they believe in climate change, and they're going to call that, you know, an answer to a poll, which is basically intellectually dishonest, because if you ask the 90% of the people out there that you meet in public, you'll find a whole bunch of them that believe in it, a whole bunch of them that aren't really sure about it, and some that just flat out believe it's a lie, period, in order to jack up the energy prices. So let's keep moving.
Which are 54% of them, understand that global warming is mostly human cause. This is the highest level measured since their surveys began in 2008. Now, do most Australians accept this concept that climate change is being caused by humans? And what has the response by Australians been to the kind of the continuing of this government's efforts to continue to produce fossil fuels?
Absolutely. In fact, a higher proportion of Australians do respect the science, believe that climate change is happening, and believe that it is caused by human activities. Australians have for a very long time supported, when asked in surveys like this, a transition to renewable energy and a swift transition to renewable energy. What we've had is a political duopoly, basically, with our Conservative Party, known as the Liberal Party, confusingly, but our Conservative Liberal Party very strongly backing the coal industry. And
so pause this again for a second. So you got supposedly the large majority of Australians that believe that we need to make a quick move over to renewable energies. Yet you're hearing about these political groups that want to try to basically slow down the process. I don't understand why these people can't get it through their head that they're not going to get this through the system. They keep trying to ask the system to decrease its own power. Think about that. If you took all these supposed Australians that believe that renewable energy is possible and we can move to that deal, Why are you waiting around asking the government for permission? Why are you sitting here politically trying to get these people to fund research that you know that they don't want to fund because they do not want to lose their power structure? Now, if you got 70 million people out there in Australia who believe that renewable energy is possible, 70 million people took $1 out of their own pocket, put it into some bank account centralized to all these people, and took that money and funded research. I mean real research, not the craziness out there like what they spend $50 billion sending to the UN Climate Change Fund so that they could basically lie to the people even more and never get nothing done. Do you realize what you could do with $50 billion? I'm not even positive it's $50 billion, even if it was only $50 million. But if you got 70 million individuals who believe that climate change is man-made and that this is a serious problem, then you get those 70 million people to up a buck. You know, put up or shut up. That's what I'm trying to say. If you put that $1 into the research and you would come out without the other end with actual working devices, which we'll get to here soon as well. But that's the whole thing. The people think that they got to work their way through the system and all the red tape and all the hindrances of lobbyists in the government from coal industries and fuel industries or whatever, even in the electric power plants or whatever. It doesn't matter. Wherever you get your energy needs met from, that system right there is trying to save itself. It's trying to stay in power. It's trying to keep making money, which I guess you couldn't blame them. If you owned a power company, you'd want to be able to sell that power to somebody. But if you, the people out there, constantly tell everybody you think it's possible we need to go to renewable energy because we're killing the planet, then put up or shut up. Seriously. Now, maybe that sounds a bit harsh, but by God, I've been doing this for I don't know how many years. I mean, years upon years. And I've been trying to show people solutions that are available. Stephen Gibbons over there in the chat room posted link after link after link on the resource page. If you go up to the top of the Super Chat room and you click on Stephen's resource page, you will find link after link of alternative energy researchers. You take the time to go watch all that and learn as much as you possibly can, you might come out the other side thinking a little bit differently. We have the technology available to resolve this so-called energy craziness, and yet you can't get the average Joe to understand that Big Daddy government is not going to bite off its own tail in order to appease you. They're not going to take away their power in order to make you happy. They're not going to do it. They flat out have been basically creatures of habit and proved by their actions what's the most important. We'd rather go out there and nuke somebody or go out there and bomb the crud out of third world nations or whatever, what used to be maybe an upcoming one, not knock them back into the Stone Age and just make a heck of a mess and take out what they like to call collateral damage, which, look, until the people start realizing where the true power is in the individual, each other, and they start working together and take a $1 bill out of your pocket and put it with your brothers and sisters $1 bill, if you got 300 million people pushing that $1 bill towards real research, that researcher would be held accountable for the finances that he uses, then you'll get something done. But in the meantime, you're just going to have to sit around and wait and hope that eventually the system's going to work its way through and you're going to get resolution to the so-called problem that you think exists. You think the world's dying. According to some people, 12 years, some other people, 10 years. Our planet's doomed. Okay, well, let's give the devil his due. If our planet's really doomed, let's get our act together and let's fix it. All right? Take a dollar out of your pocket. I'll take a dollar. Heck, I'll take $100. I'll take $1,000 out of my pocket and put it into the pile with everybody else. But until we up and do that, It's not going to happen. It's just simply not going to happen. And even people like the ones in this podcast right here, they believe so wholeheartedly in climate change, and they claim to want renewable energy, but they're trying to get the system to give up their own power. And it's not going to happen.
Led by, over recent years, mostly climate deniers, although our current Conservative Prime Minister is not a climate denier, but he's kind of leg-roped to the far right of his party.
I want you to know right now, I am a climate denier. I am one of those people who deny the bogus science that is climate change, climate disruption, or global warming. Like I said, whatever it's going to be next week when the math don't add up. If you're shoveling 20 inches of snow off your ground, then it's climate change. If it's hotter than heck outside, then it's global warming. And so it doesn't jive. Now, if we live on this great big ball like everybody likes to claim, then there's certain laws of physics that just don't jive with the whole climate change lie. First off, half of the planet, according to the great ball, is in the dark side, and the other half is in the sunlight. And the same type of ultraviolet rays that they claim is what's causing this this whole so-called global warming is the worst possible energy unless you understand how it works and how to store that energy. You got three-quarters covered in water. Most of the heat getting coming down here gets reflected off other dark objects like the dirt or, you know, black rubber tires or even pavement for that matter will absorb that heat and hold it like a battery for a while. But on the opposite side of the spectrum, we make enough heat, according to the way that the Earth is explained to us, during the daytime to hold us over through the night. Otherwise, we'd be cold as heck every time nighttime gets here. You obviously see that there's a difference between the daylight temperature and the nighttime temperature. It's obviously cooler overnight than it is during the daytime. So, with that said, you know, we got everything that we need. You know, the way that so-called climate change is explained, I hate to use the word debunk because that word is always used to try to say that there ain't no such thing as free energy. But they obviously didn't pay attention in science either, because the laws of physics prove free energy flat out. And people want to try to quote the laws of thermodynamics, and they always misquote them. They don't understand what the heck it is that they're talking about. They think they do. They're pretty impressed with themselves after they get through speaking, but they ain't got a clue. They don't understand mechanically what's actually going on.
And at the same time, a Labour Party who's been very torn as well. They are a reasonably progressive party that, on the surface, talks about climate change and believing and respecting the science of climate change. But they're also a union-based party, which is very firmly tied to the union movement in Australia, which is and has been historically very close to the coal industry. So we've had this problem politically where most Australians want to see action, and they want to see action fast, but our two biggest political parties don't. And that's part of the disconnect in politics that's going on globally. I think that's one of the key aspects of it here in Australia, this increasing disconnection and disenfranchisement, where the political parties simply aren't doing what the people want them to do.
Right. Tim, Reuters recently reported that South Australia is turning to wind power. Has that triggered a shutdown of the coal-fired plants that has led to this outages across eastern part of the nation, from what I understand?
The short answer is no, we're not having power outages very much at all. And we're certainly not having power outages that are caused by power shortages. So we're having a huge increase in renewable energy growth in Australia, led by South Australia, also led by the Australian Capital Territory, Canberra here, where I'm speaking to you from. but also happening a lot in Queensland, in the north of the country, really big expansion in solar, large-scale solar power, as well as wind. And we really don't have power shortages in this country. On the occasions when we have blackouts, when we have power cuts, generally that's been driven by external factors like big storms or heat waves. And the big storms are bringing down power lines. We're having more severe storms, which has been attributed to climate change. And of course, the heat waves that we have here in Australia, extreme heat in large parts of this country.
All right, more extreme storms which have been attributed to climate change. That couldn't possibly have anything to do with people spraying crud in the air, right? All right, so chemtrails, that's another conspiracy tinfoil hat thing. Really? And you go outside and you see a tic-tac-toe pattern up in the sky, and you buy the lie that these are regular contrails after a careful observation of what occurs, actually watching another plane fly by that actually ain't even putting out no exhaust, yet this one right here is leaving this big plume behind it that then in turn turns into a big old murky cloud, and you think that that potentially couldn't cause any type of climate change? If there's climate change that is man-made, it's because people think that they can outdo what nature has already accomplished. To think that they can, overpower nature. Well, if you change the temperature over on this side, it's obviously going to have an equal and opposite reaction on that side. So, make it rain over here where it should have been raining over there, you get a drought over there, and you get a flood over there. You crack up the ground using fracking techniques, and you wonder why there's sinkholes popping up everywhere. Come on, people. The only way you're ever going to get this fixed is if you, the people, decide to come together and get it done. Give me a $50 million budget, and I guarantee you, within a short period of time, you're going to have an actual engine that will do everything that I said it was going to do. If I said this thing will run on hydrogen technology, and it'll do the same thing as the internal combustion engine that uses the so-called fossil fuels, I guarantee you, it will be done. Flat out. No ifs, ands, or buts. Within 30 days, I'll have a machine shop and everybody putting that thing together, and we'll come out there with a working device. And as long as you, the people, stand beside and make sure that nobody does any dirty deeds trying to whack the team, so to speak, well, then you'll get the device and the information that you look for. But it ain't going to happen if you go try to do this through the system. The system does not care about you. Never has. If it has, it wouldn't be sending you off to war. It wouldn't be calling you collateral damage. If the system even gave a smidgen about you, then we wouldn't be having this conversation right now. But the facts are just what the facts are. There's people out there, and I recognize that video down there, that guy named Sky Collection, he's one of the answers to, clean renewable energy using electricity in a completely different matter. He's a brilliant individual. I'd love to get him on the show, but I'm going to need a translator when we do. So, let's keep moving for a second. This podcast is almost over. Then I'm going to go right into some other stuff that's important.
Are obviously attributable to climate change. What's interesting there is that the coal-fired power stations, which still form the bulk of Australia's power system, are much more vulnerable to extreme heat than the renewable energy power generation. And also, the centralised nature of a coal-based power system is also much more vulnerable to extreme weather than a decentralized renewable energy and battery-backed power system. The short answer is actually our power grid is extremely stable here in Australia. It's extremely reliable, and we don't have many power outages. So this interesting political line that's been being run, that we have what's called the energy trilemma, that we need to balance reliability, cost, and emissions of the power system, where conveniently the Conservatives put emissions right down the bottom of the pile and talk about trying to keep power reliable and cheap. Actually, coal is not serving either of those purposes either. It's not more reliable than a renewable system, and it's no longer actually cheaper than a renewable system either.
It could be. It flat out could be.
Thank you so much for joining us today, and look forward to more reports from Australia. I thank you.
Thank you very much for having me.
Anyway, you heard it, but well, these people are basically saying that they want clean, renewable, alternative energy, while at the same time spewing government propaganda, and just, you can't have your cake and eat it too. These people, I swear, it drives me insane, because on one hand they say, this is what we need to do, and then on the other hand, perpetrating a lie such as climate change, and in the process of all that right there, okay, let's give the devil his due then. Let's say climate change is real. Now, I'm going to jump on the bandwagon. I'm a climate change, no longer climate change denier. It's real. We're in danger. We're going to die in 12 years. And you better believe what I say. All right, so, okay, now that we got that situated and you turned me over to the dark side, now what are we going to do about it? Well, spraying crud in the air ain't going to help nothing. That's just going to aggravate the system. So let's get into these clean, renewable, alternative energies, the real technology. Listen to this podcast right here.
With oil prices soaring and fuel protests spreading across the globe, it almost sounds too good to be true. A car that runs on nothing but water. And all kinds of water will do. River, rain or sea, they all make this car mobile. Even tea works. Japanese company Genpax unveiled the eco-friendly vehicle in Osaka. Once water is poured into the car's tank, an energy generator takes hydrogen from the water, releasing electrons that power the car.
The main characteristic of this car is that no external input is needed. The car will continue to run for as long as you have a bottle of water inside for you to add from time to time.
According to Genpax, a liter of water will keep the car running at a speed of 80 kilometers for around an hour. The company hopes to go into mass production with a Japanese manufacturer. With car users around the world looking for alternative fuels to power their vehicles, Genpax may well have the solution they've been looking for. Michelle Kalal Al-Khoury, Reuters.
Alright, now that particular one there from Osaka, Japan, that isn't burning fuel in like an internal combustion engine. That's not putting it in the engine and running it like you would an internal combustion engine. That's basically using a fuel cell that takes electrons off of the separation of hydrogen and oxygen in order to produce electricity, and so that's running that one. Stan Myers was doing it the opposite way, where he was using radio waves to separate the hydrogen and oxygen on demand and running a dune buggy back in the 70s. So right there, if what they're saying is true, right there is the solution for all of the energy problems right there. Water being the best doggone fuel out there, the most stable molecule. If you know what to do with water, you can cook your food with it, you can take a bath with it, you can use it to heat your house, you can use it for electricity, and whenever you get done using that water, guess what? The exhaust is water as well. So you can't even destroy the molecule. You can get water dirty, and you can clean water right back up. You can desalinate sea water. You can end up with sea salt for one product. And you can end up with fuel for another product. And then you can turn around and clean the water in the same process and be able to use it for all the before-mentioned deals. Taking a bath, getting a drink of water, whatever, you know. So the lie, the biggest lies that are told out there are told by the education system, it's told by the governments, it's told by the power industry, it's told by the average Joe. It's told by the geek that comes out of college that thinks he is so intelligent and he knows the laws of thermodynamics so well that he can sit there and debunk you and tell you that even though you studied science your entire life and you understand the mechanics of the physics that they proclaim, that you can get this done, that there is a solution. That if you understand that water as a liquid is non-compressible, so you can use water as a liquid as hydraulic fluid instead of having to use any type of oil, you can use water to lift massive amounts of weight because you understand the physics of that. Then you turn that water, you take and energize that water, you get the heat moving in that water, those molecules get to moving around and it gets hotter and hotter and the water will store energy, and then eventually when you get that water to a certain temperature, water will boil at 212 degrees Fahrenheit at sea level. Alright? And so now this water is really energetic. And you can keep on heating that water up. You can get that water to the point where it's about ready to burst into steam and it starts to evaporate. And as that water's evaporating, you no longer have a liquid. You have a gas. And the gas now can be compressed. A gas can also be energized into the fourth state of matter, being plasma. So if you understand the physics, by the time you get this water around to where you want to inject it into the fuel system, you've already got the pre-treated heated cylinder up to over 300 degrees Fahrenheit, not enough to build, to melt the metal, but enough to keep that hot enough so that when that water is atomized and then vaporized and then injected into that 300 degree plus cylinder, that it will instantaneously flash the steam running that engine like a steam engine before it ever even starts to separate the hydrogen and oxygen. And so that on the way up, the upstroke, the compression ignition from the heat and the pressure of the combustion of the from the compression itself and from the temperature inside there. That cracking of that hydrogen and oxygen molecule instantaneously releases an electrical charge that then in turn ignites the fuel inside there. You need three things to start a fire. You need an ignition source, which water has. You need a oxygen source, which water has. And you need a fuel source, which water has. All three of which is in the perfect fuel. And then when the system is done releasing the energy that it's capable of releasing, when it comes back around, guess what? It cools down, recombines, and bam, the water molecule's just as stable as it was before. They said energy can neither be created nor destroyed. Where did it go? It started off as water, and it turned out to be water in the end. So it defies none of the laws of physics. It defies none of the laws of thermodynamics. It just uses the laws of physics and thermodynamics to its advantage. And that's just one little tiny fraction. That don't even scratch the surface of the capabilities with the type of solutions that we have available. So, you know, you think, wonder why I call this mad science? Well, I call it mad science because it's ridiculous to hear some of the things that you hear. And, you know, the proponents of climate change, let's hear about a little bit of this.
When I was working in the United States Senate, one of the key things the general public would say, the reason they don't buy the climate crisis that Al Gore was peddling, is that until they see the Hollywood celebrities and Al Gore living like they believe there's a climate crisis imminent from mankind, they don't think that Al Gore believes it. It is devastating to his cause that he lives high off the hog like this. In fact, he tried, this was exposed 10 years ago, and he actually went out and bought all these solar panels and claimed that the problem had been solved. And in reality, it's gotten much, much worse for him. This is a energy fat cat living off the land, telling everyone else that they should use public transit, take showers together, and turn their thermostats down, not fly, cut back their ways of living. And he himself has done none of that. His famous quote on CNN, by the way, Ezra, about a month ago, was, "I don't own a private jet and try to fly commercial as much as possible." what kind of an answer is that? You don't have to own a private jet to fly, and what does as much as possible mean? Yeah. I don't think Al Gore is taking a city bus anytime soon.
Yeah, that's so crazy. You mentioned he had this big stunt where he put in solar panels. Well, that was part of the study in the National Center for Public Policy. Let me read you one line about that, because it's just, it's perfect Al Goreism. Ready? Gore paid an estimated $60,000 to install 33 solar panels. First of all, that's an enormous amount of money, but I guess if it paid for all his electricity, it would be worth it. But get this. Those solar panels produce an average of 1,000 kilowatt hours per month. Only 5.7% of Gore's typical monthly energy consumption. So he would need, let me just do my math, 18 times as much solar panels. He would need, what's the math on that? But he would need more than $1 million worth of solar panels covering acres to produce the energy he needs, and that's only if it's sunny. That's an excerpt from my daily TV show, The Ezra Levant Show. Normally it's behind a paywall, but I thought you'd like this video, so we...
Yeah, well, let's move right along then, because I don't like paywalls. Paywalls get on my nerves. So, you know, what I'm saying should be common sense, but it's not general knowledge, and it doesn't matter how many times that I talk to people out there on the street. I made me a shirt that said, the truth to free energy, let me get this straight here. I've got to find it. I'm going to go ahead and click on the Mad Science link, and I'll post it in here and read it. I can't even remember my own doggone shirt. Let me see where we're at here. Open that new page there. I'm going to get this quote right the first time. Pretty bad. That's how distracted I get because of all the craziness going on. Let me get down here to my own t-shirt picture. And I'm not selling these either. I'm just saying, if you like the quote, if you want to help me out, put one on a t-shirt and wear it around and share this. It says, Mad Science is the key to truth about free energy. Ask me why. And all I'm trying to do is open up a dialogue. And it says www.shazizradio.com. And so I'm going to post this link to this t-shirt in the chat room over there at Super Chat. I'll even throw it over there at the People for People Radio Network deal. And if you like this and you understand and believe what I'm saying and you want to help Shaziz Radio and People for People Radio Network out, make this doggone shirt. Help us get some people here. Help us fill these chat rooms up. Because if we get enough people really seriously interested in wanting to get results, get things accomplished, then we need to be able to talk to them. We need to be able to show them what it is that we're saying is the truth. And we've been pointing this out for so long, but we just don't seem to be able to draw a large enough crowd, I guess. I don't know what it is. I do know part of this. The problem is the fact that we can't seem to get past the brick wall that is the secure tag that Google wants to put on us. And that scares a lot of people from actually jumping on the website because they think we're going to malware them or, hack their computers or steal their information or, you know, whatever. So, you know, this is what we're dealing with. But the only way to get past that is for people to speak the truth and tell everybody, hey, I've been there many times. I ain't got no problems. I ain't never hacked my computer or caused me to have malware or spyware or all that kind of stuff. We don't collect no information here. We give information. That's the whole difference. But, you know, this is the kind of thing that you have to deal with. You know, why ain't I trying to sell t-shirts? You know, I'm not trying to sell t-shirts because I'm not here to get rich. I mean, if I could get something going on like that where I could use that money to fund my research, you know, that would be wonderful. That would be great because I could get things done a lot faster. But, you know, the governments give millions of dollars to the UN Climate Change Fund and all kinds of crazy research out there, while at the same time telling you to reduce your carbon footprint, we got to save ourselves from climate change. You got all these supposed representatives out there you know, spewing out the propaganda, scaring the people, thinking we're all going to die in 10, 12 years. And, you know, it's not the truth. It's a dang lie. They use this lie to steal from people, and it really gets on my nerves. That's why I say what I say. But check out that t-shirt. And if you believe in what I'm trying to tell you here, and you want to try to help me out to, you know, build up some, you know, people to help us get this this task accomplished, make it, write it on there with a Sharpie, you know, a marker, a crayon, or whatever. Make some posters, throw them on the wall or something like that. Help me get some people here to make it to where I can actually start to do more research than what I've done. I've done tons of research. I've made tons of prototypes. I've made all kinds of videos. I've shared these videos freely with everybody. I don't sit around begging for money or anything like that. I just ask that if you watch this or you listen to that and you like what you saw, to share the link with somebody and help me to draw a crowd to tell these people, look, if you're really serious about saving the planet, even though I'm a climate change denier, I will give you exactly what you want. You help me build a dream team. We help each other fund the research, and we'll get it done. We'll get to give you exactly what you want. But as long as you're trying to lobby the Senate, the Congress, and the parliaments of the world in order to get something done and fight against the oil industries and the corporations and the money men of the world, you ain't going to do it. You just simply ain't going to do it. Look how many years that we've been, just me alone, researching and telling everybody all this information, and they still, job security, if I was making money off of Shaziz Radio or Mad Science YouTube or whatever, if I was actually getting rich off of this deal, they're giving me the perfect deal. I could just keep doing this for years and years. Because I'll continue to have all kinds of content to share with you. And so I sat there and preached to the choir for years and make thousands of dollars a month. It's not happening like that, folks. I ain't got no problem whatsoever doing a live stream showing people on Google AdSense, you know, how much money is actually being generated by the measly little ads that Google puts on this website. And in the Super chat room, which probably gets the most traffic, I don't even have chat room or advertisements down there, because the way the chat room is set up, it auto-generates and basically refreshes. So Google wants to kick you off of Google AdSense if you have anything like that, because it makes false clicks on there, and they're basically thinking you're trying to steal money from them, which in fact you're not. And so, in the chat rooms, you ain't seeing no ads in there. But, you know, other ways around the website, if you go around and check out podcast pages and stuff like that that don't have refreshing deals like the chat room, then you'll find an ad on there. Well, you know, maybe 60-some-odd clicks a month or something like that adds up to maybe a dollar or something. And so this site isn't even profitable. This site is basically underwater as far as financial. It's in the red. You know, all the money that I spend out here trying to keep Shaziz Radio together, I'm losing money trying to do this. And if you go to my YouTube channel, which at one point actually made a few dollars and helped me out with research, because I would redirect all the funds that I made off of Google AdSense or YouTube revenue, that I would buy materials to make projects to make more videos. But even that, after the whole adpocalypse, basically went down to nothing. So every month I might generate $6 or $7 for the entire month, with over 200, almost 300 videos on there, and they're not making any money. They're not getting any kind of, moving forward as far as out there in search results. And so it's suppressed on YouTube. It's suppressed on Google. We're suppressed here at Shaziz Radio and People for People Radio Network, because we don't want to buying one of these certificates that supposedly says that we're secure. It's just another way for them to not only be able to crawl your website to get more information, but a way to get more revenue generated for Google and any other search engine that's forcing you into that thing. And supposedly it protects the people that are looking on the YouTube channel or on the websites from malware, which is a doggone lie. The majority of all the doggone virus software out there is software that basically fixes non-existent problems and sometimes fixes pre-existing problems caused by the same exact company, like the one that, I can't remember what the name of that, Red Dot or something like that. There was a virus program out there. They actually wrote a bogus virus, put it on websites. You get on there, it'd load a cookie on there. Next time you fired your computer up, it would tell you that you had a virus. And click on this right here, and we'll sell you the cure. So they had a huge scam going on, and they had lots of people that fell for it. They run a bogus scan on your computer, tell you that you got all this viruses on there, and that for $30 you can buy this software and fix it up. So that's what we're up against, folks. And there's no way around it unless I get some help from people out here that want to help me spread the message and try to get people here. You know, build a website. I'll move all my content to your website if that's, and I'll let you control all the money. I'll let you control all the finances. I'll let you sell products on there. You can throw my name on a t-shirt, a mug, or whatever, and you can sell it. Take that money and take all these ideas and run with them. Heck, I'll even give you all kinds of ideas in order so that you can take them out there, patent them in your name, and you can get filthy, stinking rich, but just prove the technology exists, like I've been trying to say forever and a day. You know, that's all I'm asking. I don't want to spend a lifetime's worth of research and have to come up against all this craziness all the doggone time. You know? I'm trying to do something I think is good. I'm trying to help the world out. Let's check this one here out for a second, because this is important.
For decades, there's been this perception that you can protect the environment, but only by sacrificing economic growth and jobs. That is true in a narrow sense. But if we look at it in the economy overall, building the green economy is a great source of job opportunities and a source of economic growth. I'm Robert Poland. I'm an economist who studies building a clean energy economy. Spending money on anything, investing on anything, anything at all, creates jobs. So if you invest in building up renewable energy and raising energy efficiency standards, that will create jobs. And my research shows spending on building the green economy generates 2 to 3 times more jobs for a given dollar of expenditure rather than maintaining the fossil fuel economy. The total number of people that work in the coal industry doing everything in the United States today is 66,000 total. It is a really small sector of the economy in terms of job opportunity. It's a blip. But if we perceive in the United States taking somewhere around 1.5% of U.S. GDP and moving that money into clean energy investments, we're looking at a net increase of about 3 million jobs per year. Wind, geothermal, hydro, and clean bioenergy are at basically cost parity with burning coal. Once you've built the infrastructure actually generating the energy, there is no cost increase. So that's exactly why I try to argue that building a green energy economy is totally consistent with a healthy, positive economic growth trajectory with expanding job opportunities. The United States, in China, in India, in Germany, in Spain, basically everywhere.
So basically what that man just got through telling you, because one of the biggest lies out there, there's a lot of big lies out there, but one of the biggest lies out there is the fact that doggone renewable energy is job killing. You're going to put people out of the coal, fire power plants, out of jobs, and so on down the line. That's the biggest lie. One of the biggest lies. There's so many doggone lies that are so huge that it's just ridiculous. But either way, you know, somebody's going to have to maintain systems. Somebody's going to have to build systems. And if you, the people, are the ones in control of that business, you can put those jobs back there. You can have the jobs ready before the coal fire power plants or any of the other nuclear industries ever even go by the wayside because they're outdated. There's so many different ways. I mean, we could improve on everything. There's always room for improvement on everything. Internal combustion engines, only a small percentage efficient. The rest of it's waste energy. And if you understood that, and if you understood the physics of that, you could take that waste energy and you could turn it into a surplus. You can store that energy. So let's move right along again.
Well, imagine never having to worry about hurricanes and energy impact. Imagine never having to gas up your car again or recharge your cell phone. An endless supply of energy that does not harm the environment and won't cost you a dime. In fact, it comes from thin air. My next guest says the technology exists. Here to explain how it works is Sean McCarthy. He's CEO of a company called Storn. It's a technology firm based in Ireland. Good to have you, sir.
Good evening.
This almost sounds too good to be true. Now, I know you're a genius, but if you could explain it in layman's terms for me.
What we've done is, about 3 years ago, we developed a way of constructing magnetic fields so that when you travel around the field, you suffer a net gain of energy. This energy, we have proven over the years, doesn't come from any other source. What that means in terms of a product is quite literally that, you know, if we deploy this as a replacement for your car engine, you'll never have to put gas into your car. We replace a battery in your cell phone, you'll never have to recharge your phone.
But where is the energy coming from, Sean?
Literally, there has never been an identifiable source for the energy. What this technology is doing is directly contradicting one of the basic laws of physics, the principle of the conservation of energy. So what we did last week is to issue a challenge to the world of science to ask them to come and to test it and to let the public know that this technology exists.
So, and they were impressed by what they saw. There's something about the magnetic images or presence that makes this work. My immediate reaction to that was, is there any hazard, danger, cancer-causing type vulnerability here? Anything like that?
No, I mean, anything that has electrical energy in it generates a magnetic field. The kind of magnetic fields we're looking at here are very low level, and the technology itself is shielded, so there is no discernible magnetic field outside of the technology itself. Our key focus at the moment is to start a process of very in-depth validation from the scientific world, which will start later this year, and we expect the results of that to be released towards the end of next year.
You realize if you're onto something, Sean, you've driven the automobile business out of business and a host of others that depend on battery and fuel juice.
I don't say it. I think this is an opportunity. I mean, I think that one of the key issues that we face are polluting energy sources. This isn't going to put the automotive industry out of business, and quite the opposite. We see this as a huge opportunity for, you know, cleaner automobiles, for less toxic batteries.
All right. You're a private concern right now. You're deliberately not doing this to raise money, just to increase professional recognition by which you can later on get funding, right?
Yeah, what we've said is because claims like this have obviously been made in the past, we've distinguished ourselves from other claimants by first of all saying, during this process, we're not going to attempt to commercialize. This needs to be an honest review from the world of science. We will neither raise money nor license the technology until the world of science has fully acknowledged that the results, have published the results of their technology and shown this to work. Our key focus at this point is simply to allow the public to see that this technology is available. We'll look then at commercialization after that.
All right, Sean McCarthy, thank you.
Thank you.
To another good idea, and imagine a machine that could power your house for free. Well, that's exactly what two Australian inventors claim they've developed. Using magnets and a battery, their new generator has been described as revolutionary, and foreign investors are lining up for a piece of the action. Chris Allen reports.
So, John, this is the machine?
Yes, this is it, Chris.
What's it capable of? Well, it'll power a house. The machine will provide sufficient electricity to run a house and have power to burn.
It sounds too good to be true, but inventor John Christie is convinced his machine will change the world.
So, John, basically you're saying this machine can produce five times as much power as it consumes.
Yes, it does. This one, exactly as we see it, it does. And, in fact, it can produce more than that.
Once kickstarted from a battery, John and his partner Lou Britz say this prototype will run for years without stopping, generating 24 kilowatts of power a day.
You don't get more revolutionary, I think. I mean, we're talking about something that has the capacity to change the way that the world produces its electric power. It has the capacity to change the way that motors, cars are propelled. You can replace the combustion engine, in fact.
John, these are big claims. Are you sure you can live up to them?
We don't really need to live up to them, Chris. The technology speaks for itself.
I mean, a householder could buy one of these machines and install it in his garage and power his house forever without buying another kilowatt from a retailer. I mean, that's how serious it is.
Steve Brassington is an independent electrical engineer. He's seen the machine and backs up everything John says.
It's revolutionary. That's the only way to describe it. I think the technology, it's not bending physics, it's just using principles that I guess are commonly in use in power generation today in a different way. These guys have thought outside of the square.
Basically, it's magnetic attraction and magnetic repulsion that provide the movement or the moment of the motor.
Can you understand why some scientists are sceptical about it?
There is no physicist or engineer who has looked at our motor or has looked at our figures who says it doesn't work.
Lou is an electrician and John a businessman in Cairns in far north Queensland. The two unlikely inventors have been tinkering with their machine for 6 years. They've applied for an international patent and have been swamped by people wanting a piece of the action.
These are the coils. We mentioned the coils don't get hot.
Mm-hmm. Local businessman Alex Romer is one of the many offering money to help develop the generator.
If it proves up to be what they say it is, it certainly would be something I'd invest in.
John has also spoken to millionaire inventor George Lewin, the man who came up with the Triton workbench, and who's now setting up a fund to stop Australian inventions going overseas.
There's an opportunity here, I think, to share an invention with the world that is beyond anything that we've ever contemplated before.
Since the 8th century, scientists have been trying to develop a machine with the power to change the world, able to produce a limitless supply of energy. Leonardo da Vinci declared it an impossibility. Others, including Johann Bessler in the 18th century, claimed success. They were dismissed as charlatans. But is the search at an end? Has the holy grail of science been discovered in this Dublin business park? The businessmen behind the claim say this test rig proves their theory. As it turns, it's making more energy than it's using.
What we found is that when you construct certain magnetic fields using permanent magnets, the kind of magnets you have in your fridge, that certain constructions of these magnets cause certain fields. When you travel around the field, stopping and starting at the same position, you gain energy.
The trained engineer who set up Steorn says the results were found by accident 3 years ago. 8 people and organisations have tested the theory, but they won't say who. The company's claims have drawn a surprising response from physicists.
We get daily, emails, telling us that somebody's going to come around and beat us up. We have had certain people involved in the project phoned up by a physicist who told this person to watch their back. We've had bloggers turn up to the office. I've had one blogger turn up to my home. It is amazing the depth of feeling. And this is fundamentalism from a scientific point of view. This is literally the reaction to our claim here is a religious reaction. It's the only way that I can put it in a way that people will understand.
Undaunted, they put this advert in The Economist, inviting scientists to join a jury of 12 to test their findings. The counter on their website suggests nearly 5,000 have replied. Steorn will fund the research as long as the scientists agree to publish their results.
we would like them to be as widespread as possible, ideally geographically, but it's very important that they are the best people in the field. There's no value in us doing this and then ending up with a jury that can be, that we can be told, well, actually they're not the most qualified people. So we have to get the most qualified people we can get. Otherwise it won't hold water.
But why are so many so sceptical? Because it challenges the very foundations of physics.
There are two fundamental laws that that we consider in thermodynamics, the laws of thermodynamics. And the first law says that you cannot create or destroy energy. And you can only convert it from one form to another. And the second law of thermodynamics says if you put energy into a system, you can't get all of that energy out. But there's always a possibility that we will find something extraordinary. But I have to say I'm a bit sceptical that we are going to find something that will break all the observed laws.
See, that's the thing. That's the thing right there, what he just said. You don't have to break the laws of physics. If you understand what the heck is going on there, if there's a loss in that system, then you can improve upon that system to make frictionless bearings, for example, or take the what would have been waste product, which is heat. Anytime you generate any type of energy, anytime you use anything with energy, you generate heat. And so that to them would be a loss, and so that's the takeaway. You can't never get out more than you put in. You can get out exactly what you put in, and in the right circumstances, properly engineered, you can get out more than you put in. Which even that doesn't defy the laws of physics. It basically is picking up energy. The way that you use energy, when you slap your hand on a pool and you make a wave out there. We know that if we keep doing that over and over and over again, the same amount of force on that wave, that will pull every single time, will create a ramping up of that energy. Eventually, all the water out of that pool will be sloshing over the sides of the pool and draining out. That's what Tesla showed about, and that's the reason why we got Tesla coils. That's the reason why we've got cell phones and wireless communications and stuff, because of the way that we understood of how to move that field out there farther. You didn't lose none of that energy. It's still out there. According to their own laws of physics, it can neither be created nor destroyed. So, once again, where's it go? It's still there. It's still there in one form or another. It's just dispersed out evenly somewhere out there. Nature's found a balance, and that's that. Once you understand that, then the rest of it's all easy from that point on. We don't even need to shoot for over unity or 0 point. All we got to do is go for maximum efficiency. We haven't even achieved even a fraction of the efficiency level that we could right now.
Is, but it's still a high-risk strategy. Steorm staff know they face global ridicule if the verdict is damning. The prize for success is a priceless patent, which would end their dependence on oil and potentially extinguish poverty, famine, and drought. Now the jury must deliberate. Robert Nisbet, Sky News, Dublin.
The jury must deliberate. You got to go get a bunch of guys in lab coats who's been gone through college and all this kind of stuff, and you got to get their approval before you can get working technology on the table for everybody else out there to see. So what I'm trying to say is, you the people should be the jury. You the people should be the ones, if you're really believing that climate change is real, and you want to try to save the planet and all this craziness, well, then where are you at? Where's that dollar bill out of your pocket going into a pile with your brothers and sisters out there and having that money funneled to researchers that are showing actual results? And the moment those researchers stop showing results, you pull the funding. You're in control. That's the whole thing. And as far as government controls and all that kind of things, you don't ask Big Daddy government for permission. Big Daddy government wants to keep in power, so they're not going to assist you in any legitimate matter. And if you think the mainstream scientists are going to buck the system, no, you're wrong, because they ain't going to buck the system, because they want to keep their position there. They want to keep their notoriety. I'm the best scientist in the world, you know, in this particular field. Really? I don't think so. But nonetheless, let's just keep going with this right here.
Lonnie Johnson is what you would call a prolific inventor. The engineer holds more than 100 patents, inspired to create ever since he was a child.
I was always curious about how things worked. I would take my siblings' toys apart to... Sometimes I put them back together, sometimes I use parts to make something else totally different.
When he was a teenager, Johnson won an engineering contest with a robot he built while growing up in the segregated South.
We were the only black school represented, but Linux was such a impressive piece of work that we were able to walk away with first place.
Years later, as an engineer for NASA's Jet Propulsion Lab, Johnson helped design the Galileo mission to Jupiter and the Mars Observer projects. But Johnson's biggest claim to fame was engineering this toy, the Super Soaker Squirt Gun. More than $1 billion in sales later, Johnson had the resources to work on his real life's mission, finding ways to power the world without polluting it.
That was my strategy because I was having a lot of trouble getting investors or people to support the research that I wanted to do in the hard science area.
All right, so here's a guy who made the Super Soaker Squirt Gun, who is working on alternative energy, that can't even get support. Now, if he took that billions of dollars of research and just said, to heck with trying to get support from the outside, we're going to do this, and then we're going to put it out there to the public so that the public knows it exists, then it would already be done. Think about that. You know, $50 million, let's just say $50 million. I don't know if it's $50 billion. I keep asking the same question, but the government, U.S. government, sent the U.N. Climate Change Fund $50 million, and what have you got to show for it? You know, you put $50 million in a dream team, put $50 million down on the table and let me bring the dream team together and put these doggone devices together and prove it once and for all, it's a done deal. But I can't even get support enough for people to show up in the chat room, let alone, you know, what this guy's got access to. He's got the notoriety of patents and inventions and stuff like that. I ain't never patented anything but a board game at one point in time, but I never made it through the whole patent process because the way the system's set up, it's so doggone expensive. You got to pay for patent attorneys and everything else like that. So it's a financial issue that kills most of the alternative energy researchers. Most of the alternative energy researchers can't financially cover because it takes money to pay people to make custom parts for you and stuff like that. But if you, the average Joe, had tools, if you had a 3D printer, he had a milling machine and all that kind of stuff, and you came together as a dream team and you pulled your resources, you could make these parts. But you gotta get past the greed, you gotta get past the egos, and you gotta get to the people who really seriously want to get this done. To prove or disprove it once and for all so that, you know, this debate would be over. It's insane.
The engineer started two companies, located them in what was once a blighted Atlanta neighborhood, and hired fellow scientists to work on his mission.
We've done some things at the research level that a lot of people have predicted were impossible and could not work.
Johnson and his team spent 7 years developing this lithium air battery. A battery, he says, provides 10 times more energy than the most powerful batteries now on the market.
Whereas the auto industry now is trying to get to 100 miles on a single charge, you'd actually be able to charge your car and drive up to 1,000 miles on one charge nonstop. So that would eliminate the reservation that a lot of people have about electric cars.
Johnson has tested the battery's ability in the lab time and again. But in order to get the battery to work in an electric car, it needs to be larger. And scaling it up takes big money.
We could actually put it in a car and drive a car, I'd say 12 to 18 months if we had adequate funding.
But Johnson says companies with far more resources are starting to catch up.
Now we've got large entities like the National Laboratories and the IBMs and others who have very deep pockets are starting to focus on this technology. So we've got to run faster to stay ahead.
The other potentially world-changing invention he's developed is this engine. The JTEC converts heat to electricity. Popular Mechanics magazine awarded the JTEC its breakthrough prize in 2008. And the National Science Foundation has said the JTAC has, quote, a good chance of being the best thing on Earth.
It took us a while to convince people that even the engine was real and it could work.
Johnson says the engine, which pushes hydrogen through a membrane, could power entire cities once it's scaled up.
If we had a way of converting heat from the sun to electricity as cost-effectively as we can burn coal or natural gas to produce electricity, then we would be using the sun a lot more. This would really, literally change the world if it were successful.
Johnson has received some funding from the Department of Energy and support from the Department of Defense, but not enough to get the project commercialized. That, he says, will take several million dollars.
Everything depends on resources.
Let's pause this for a second. Yeah, he's right. Everything does depend on resources. But the heat energy that people always try to say, well, that only works when the sun comes out. You can actually store heat energy. There are different things like molten salt reactors and stuff like that where you can get salt to heat it up, and it'll maintain the heat over the nighttime and still produce the energy the same, just like it was if the sun was out. And there are other materials out there that are really good for storing heat energy. And if you go back to the actual thermos that you put your coffee in, or cold water for that matter, because of the insulation factor that we know how to, if we want to keep it cold, we know how to do that. If we want to keep it hot, we know how to do that as well in the same exact container. So you could store a whole lot of heat energy over the nighttime to carry you through until the next day when the sun comes up again. So these are just, like I said, this doesn't even scratch the surface of our capabilities are. So the energy lies being told by the system out there, and even sometimes the average Joe who thinks themselves to be so educated, they're so smart that they can quote the laws of physics, even though they don't understand those same laws of physics. They're not there as written in stone. They aren't there to hinder you. If you understand even those laws of physics, you can use those laws of physics to your advantage. It's mind-blowing. People want to sit there and say, we need clean, renewable alternative energy, but they're not willing to reach it down into their pocket or to get up off the couch and do anything to assist. You know, if you're sitting around listening to this right now, you can help out simply by sharing links. That's it. What's the time? How much money does it cost you? How much time does it take to just to share a link to information? That's it. Information war that's going on out here to suppress all these free energy devices, alternative energies, clean, renewable, green energies, whatever terminology you want to tack to it. It's the same doggone thing. We could have super efficiency, and some of these videos that I'm playing to you aren't very new videos. Some of them several years old, and some of these technologies have actually been gobbled up by bigger companies and put on the shelf. Some of them had been gobbled up by companies like Tesla and are actually getting out there, you know, slowly but surely. All these technologies will make it to the mainstream, but it won't be under your control. So if the power company comes out there, they might sell you a generator, but they'll figure out a way to tax you for it if you're not connected to their grid. If you think I'm wrong, if you think I'm just making stuff up, go look into the solar industry and find out how many people got off of the power grid or got onto even grid-tied systems, and they turned around and essentially were punished for, putting too much energy to the system or causing the system to not make as much money because now you're getting free energy from the sun that is basically cutting into their wallet. They don't like that. So they'll lobby the governments around or even get the environmentalists riled up and say, oh, look, those solar panels are ugly looking over there, or those wind turbines are going to kill the birds. And so then you got nutcase environmentalists running around basically contradicting everything that they're saying about saving the planet while doing whatever they can to support the system. The same system that would suppress them is the same system that they're trying to support just by their actions. It's insanity.
I could have an engine working inside of a year at this point.
So far, Johnson has mostly gone it alone. It has been a major personal investment. The 61-year-old hopes will pay off in his life.
If it doesn't, it won't be for a lack of trying.
Turn the machine on. Finney Klein fires up his hot new invention. His machine emits a flame that feels only slightly warm to the touch. But watch what happens when he touches anything else.
Instantaneously, I can burn a hole right down through the center of that brick.
The flame instantly turns hotter than the surface of the sun. Heat so intense it takes only seconds to literally burn a hole through charcoal. 3 seconds turns a brass ball to glowing liquid metal. Tungsten lights up like a sparkler. Steel, lead, and other metal slices on contact. Yet the tip of the welder stays cool to the touch.
No other gas will do this.
Denny Klein uses an alternative fuel source once thought impossible. He says people still have trouble believing him when he reveals his liquid fuel.
Water. Take water and electricity, and we break it down through our very unique electrolysis process.
Klein has just patented his process of converting H2O to HHO, producing a gas that combines the atomic power of hydrogen with the chemical stability of water.
It turns right back to water. You see the water running off of this.
Klein originally designed his water-burning engine for cutting metal. He thought his invention would replace volatile acetylene in welding factories. Then one day, as he drove to his laboratory in Clearwater, he thought of another way to burn his HHO gas.
On a 100-mile trip, we use about 4 ounces of water.
Klein says his prototype 1994 Ford Escort can travel exclusively on water, though he currently has it rigged to run as a water and gasoline hybrid.
Simply speaking, it could change the world by reducing our dependence on fossil fuels.
These are equivalent to our...
Pete Dominici is helping Klein take his hydrogen technology patents from...
That reduce our independence on fossil fuels thing, that's another flat-out fallacy. That's a lie. We ain't got no dependence on fossil fuels. And even to that extent, it doesn't matter. Like I said a million times, if you want to burn fossil fuels, then all you have to do in order to make that a clean running engine is to fix the flaws of the engineering that came prior, which is that the doggone engine wastes more energy via heat than it does extracting from the fuel. 60% of all the fuel that you put in your car goes out the exhaust pipe. And so with that said, then that means there's something wrong in the system. I know how to fix it, but you can't get nobody to listen to how to fix it. You try, but you can't. Now, we could actually build engines that would take the exhaust and run a dual piston system when the exhaust explosion or implosion, however you want to do it, inside the piston goes down on the exhaust stroke up there. You still have 60% of your fuel because it hasn't had enough time to completely burn. You could vent that down into a secondary cylinder and have that fuel ignited. And then do that all the way out this engine, basically seesawing back and forth. Your intake comes in, your fuel comes into the first cylinder, and then it is ignited. Whatever exhaust comes out that still has fuel content will go into the next one. It's reignited again, and so on down the line, over and over, until finally it comes out the end and there ain't no more fuel to burn because you've used up every bit of that energy igniting that fuel over and over again before it ever even got out to the exhaust to begin with. And then whenever you come out the exhaust, you've increased the efficiency to the extent now maybe from only 30% efficient. You might bring it all the way up to 70 or 80% efficient, and then deal with whatever exhaust is left over by either recapturing any carbon emissions and redirecting it to where you want it to go. There are all kinds of methods on how to do this. So, with that said, by re-engineering the way that the internal combustion engine actually runs right now, you could make it super efficient. And if you go to the extent of re-engineering how we're actually injecting the fuel in there to begin with, then you're only putting the right amount of fuel in there. You got it mathematically perfect to exact amount of fuel necessary to get the job done. No more, no less. But nobody wants to take the time in order to mathematically measure out exactly how much energy it is actually released by whatever amount of fuel, and then go from there to develop an engine that would be perfectly efficient by the way that you're injecting that fuel into the system. But at the standard model right now, if you don't want to take the time to engineer the doggone injection portion to make it more efficient, then you could re-engineer the secondary portion of it, which is the way that you're actually burning the fuel to begin with, and guide the exhaust where you want it to go to extract extra energy from that thing. Like a seesaw, one goes up, the other one goes down, next one goes up, next one goes down, and all the exhaust from every single one of these pistons is guided into the next system to reignite it, and so you could have something as crazy as a three-cylinder per cylinder system, where if you had a V12, it'd be times three cylinders in there to actually burn the excess fuel before it ever even reached the catalytic converter. So therefore, you wouldn't have to have a catalytic converter. At worst case scenario, if you still wanted a catalytic converter, it would clean up the rest of the residue from that system, and that catalytic converter would last multitudes times longer because it's not getting filled up with carbon, because it's not generating so much heat that it's basically rattling and vibrating and collapsing in on itself, causing you to have an exhaust restriction. So it could be done, but you got to get people to listen. And when I say you got to get people to listen, you got to get the average Joe to listen, not these so-called representatives out there from Congress, Senate, Parliament, or even the White House for that matter. None of that. They're not going to do it. The oil industry is not going to do it. The coal industry is not going to do it. The electric companies are not going to do it. The environmentalists are definitely not going to do it, even though they're the ones that are out there preaching clean, renewable, alternative energy. They're doing more hindering than they're doing any good. You don't stand out there with a wooden stick and a paper sign saying, save the trees. It's ridiculous. You know, and out there protesting. Protesting ain't getting nothing done. Protesting is just a bunch of ridiculousness. You're standing there lobbying for a monster to eat itself. And it's not going to happen. You want the power structure to give up its power. It's not going to happen. They refuse to do anything that's going to make this a world, a place where all people are equal from every single nation. If I have electricity over here, they have electricity in South Africa or wherever. You know? If people on this world are starving to death, it's because man is allowing it to happen. Mankind is allowing it to happen. You can spend all this money on war machines to go over there and mop somebody into the Stone Age, and then come over and promise to rebuild them, build them back the way you want them in order to maintain your power structure, but you ain't going to ever make it portion where they could be self-contained either. Every nation could be self-contained. Every household could be self-contained. Every bit of the technology that I keep talking about and keep sharing with you via these videos is all proven technology that doesn't defy any of the laws of physics. And the ones that seemingly defy the laws of physics are just, in reality, using the laws of physics to their advantage in order to make the doggone thing super efficient. And that's the simple of it. So, calling it free energy will get you cursed out. Go shooting for super efficiency is probably the safest route to go. But even at that, to that extent, they don't want that either. I mean, why would I sell you a light bulb that would run for 20 years if I want to make money selling light bulbs? It's only common sense. The industry don't want to give you something incredibly efficient because they want to sell you energy. They want to sell you fuel. Heck, in some instances, they sell you bottled water. you pay a dollar for a bottle of water, depending on where you're at. Some places are probably a lot more. And if you go to some place like Disneyland or some sort of resort, they'll probably charge you $5 or $10 for a bottle of water. Something that you could get from nature. And if you paid attention in science class, you could make it cleaner than that bottle of water. But nonetheless, you know, that's where we're at, folks. This is why I do what it is that I do. The energy lies being told by even the average Joe who comes out of college that thinks that they know about everything. When in reality, they were indoctrinated into spewing propaganda and basically hindering people like myself from ever getting anywhere. The debunkers, the so-called educated people that come around trolling your YouTube channels and talking smack. Oh, well, that ain't gonna run my house. I never said it was gonna run your house in that deal, but if you paid attention to the physics and the anomaly occurring, you could scale it up or scale it down to meet your needs. And then it would run your house. That's the thing. To show it in simplicity so the average Joe can understand what the heck is going on. You know, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to understand energy's free. But you have to give up your government indoctrination in order to understand energy is free. I did a Free Thinkers video series wherein I tested the waters to see what people would think outside the box and what people wouldn't think outside the box. And I got a lot of ridiculous comments. But I'm here to say that same old system, while it's got grass growing up around it and the age of the years passing by has things falling apart off of it, is still to this very day running on dead batteries. Batteries that would not start your car. It still lights it up. It still runs the circuitry. It still pulses the coils. It still picks up radio signals. It still picks up galvanic actions. It still picks up earth battery technology. It still picks up wind power. It still picks up thermal energy. And it's still, to this very day, after all these years, go back and look at my video series called Free Thinkers. That thing, to this very day, is still doing exactly what it was designed to do back then. It picks up energy from every single direction, all different types, between AC capacitors, DC capacitors, and so on. And once you understand the physics of electricity, that whenever you're talking about voltage alone, voltage is pressure. Voltage is what gets work done. It doesn't matter where the voltage comes from. That voltage will fill up containers, which are power supplies, power storage units. And even a battery that was working as a lead acid battery, its chemistry, even when it becomes bone dry, all the battery acid and everything, all the water has deteriorated and evaporated out of there, and all you have left over is the plates of that battery. If you understand what a dielectric is, the atmosphere in between those two plates, the positive and negative plates, are still a dielectric. You still have to reach a certain amount of voltage in order to leap across that gap and short those plates out. So that means that if you put an imbalance on those plates, you can still charge that battery up. Now, it's not the same energy that you would have used if you were using a lead-acid type battery. Or even, nickel cadmium, nickel metal hydride, lithium, or whatever. As long as there is some sort of chemistry going on inside there, they will, you know, basically produce electricity. But once those types of batteries, finally basically lose their energy, basically become balanced by nature, those will literally short themselves out. But a liquid-filled battery becomes a capacitor when it's not being when it doesn't have that contact between the electrolyte inside there. Notice that I said electrolyte for a lead acid battery and a dielectric for that same battery when the electrolyte is completely dried out. There's no more material in between those plates. Now the atmosphere that is in between those plates becomes the dielectric, and it takes a lot of voltage in order to leap across those short amounts. So if you charge one plate up and the other plate, one positive and one negative, then you're going to have an imbalance. And so when you take and charge it up like a capacitor, you'll get the same exact results as a capacitor if you already have a load connected to it, and you can continue to pour energy in there, because that pressure will fill up a lesser pressure. The higher pressure is always going to win out, so if you have a higher voltage, it will charge that battery. And no matter how many of those videos I put out, no matter how long time gone by, that people hadn't realized what it is that I just showed them. That you can pull energy from multiple different sources, no matter what's going on out there, whether it's snowing outside, whether it's raining, whether it's dry as a bone going through a drought, or windy as all get out, it doesn't matter. Whether it's sunny, it's pulling energy from the sun, it's pulling energy from the wind, it's pulling energy from the dirt, it's pulling thermal energy, static energy, negative ion generations, it's pulling radio waves, it's pulling heat energy. It's doing everything that nature's sitting there doing all the time, putting all this energy out there, and you can guide it to where you want. So it's as simple as that. It's so ridiculously simple. It's mind-blowing. But yet, try to get this out to the mainstream. You'll find that if you try to go ask for help in the mainstream for people to fund you, it's not going to happen. It ain't going to happen. And if you get too close to anything like Stan Myers or John Bedini or any of the other well-known name brand, even Tesla for that matter, they will reject you, and then they'll turn around and come in after you pass away, and they'll take your research, and they'll turn it into a military project. You heard what they said on a couple of these podcasts. That the Pentagon was interested. The government was interested. They want to make army tanks with hydrogen technology. The same hydrogen technology that Stan Myers and other people had produced. It's out there. They poo-pooed it. And when they didn't get it for them specific, well, then some people just didn't fare so well. They had heart attacks and such. You know, some people committed suicide. You take it however you want it. But the fact that people out there actually believe that energy, free energy information isn't suppressed, we've proven that over and over again ad nauseum. Listen to some more of this.
A two-room office in Clearwater to consumer markets around the world.
You know what? Microsoft came out of nowhere, came out of the garage. Why not Hydrogen Technologies?
The duo is already in negotiations with one U.S. automaker and the U.S. government. Their plans have grown from basic welding with water to powering the entire world from the safest and cleanest fuel on Earth. Craig Patrick, Fox News.
Members of Congress recently invited Teddy Klein to Washington to demonstrate his technology. Now his company is currently developing a Hummer for the U.S. military that can run on both water and gasoline. So far, his water-powered engines have passed all performance safety inspections, so all systems appear to be go right now, and gives new meaning to the term running water.
You just have to hope that water prices don't go up like the gas.
And this is an older video. This is what I've been trying to get out to people. And the next section that's coming up right here is even older yet. The technology does exist. It's proven technology. The military said they're going to be running their doggone ships on hydrogen technology by 2016. It's 2019 now. Think about it. And why isn't this technology in the average Joe's hands? I'll tell you why. Because you haven't accepted it. You haven't taken it. You haven't shared it with everybody. And everyone thinks that, oh, well, I can't do nothing by myself. The United States of America has over 320 million people in it. If each one of those 320 million people actually believed in climate change, and they thought the world was coming to an end, and they reached in their pocket and threw $1 in there, there's $320 million. You have access to pay people from machine shops and real workers, real people that believe in alternative energy, put together a dream team and get it done. And then share that open source with all these people who put the dollar in. You see what I'm saying? This is why you're never going to get the beast to give up the power. You're never going to get these companies, corporations, energy industries to give up the power. Not even the auto industries want to tangle with the fuel industries. They're not going to do it. They're not going to make their engines run more efficiently, even though if they were allowed to do so, you could get an engine to run extremely efficient. At least 90% efficiently. And they know how to do it, but they won't do it. And if you talk to them about why they haven't done it, they won't even tell you that they know how to do it. They don't want to tangle with the same beast that is basically eating everybody else alive. Now, these people are smart enough to engineer things. Over at Osaka, Japan, where that doggone company's over there made a hydrogen car that's not even running like Stan Meyer's running his, but using hydrogen technology to generate electricity for an electric car, it's already proven technology. So that's even a different way to use the same thing. But you can't get the mainstream industries to do this because the oil industry is so embedded in this like a tick. And it's sucking the lifeblood out of the world. Out of you and me. And when we sit around and we sit there and talk about these things over and over again, what do we get for our response? We get trolled, we get ignored, we got not secure on our websites, everything. It's a hindrance to point out the information that's freely available. Once again, Stephen Gibbons, if you scroll up there on the Super Chat room and you check out the work that he done, man put a lot of time, he volunteered to do this for Shaziz Radio. He's got a resource page link that has tons and tons of links to alternative energy researchers. Some of which you might find because energy researchers are falling off the map left and right because they're getting tired of the ridicule. They're getting tired of the so-called debunkers. They're getting tired of the college-educated geeks coming around trying to tell them why it is that it won't work instead of saying why it is that it could possibly work if you change something. But listen to this next one. This is even older than one I just played prior.
The top of our news here at 6 o'clock, an age-old dream becoming a reality. A local inventor has discovered a way, hear this, to use water to run your car.
It's a major breakthrough that will no doubt make motorists happy. And as Ralph Robinson explained, the Pentagon is also showing lots of interest in this project.
Water has always been considered a precious commodity, but Stan Meyer's invention may make it even more valuable. He has developed what's called a water fuel cell. It has taken the place of his old gas tank. The water fuel cell breaks down water molecules into oxygen and hydrogen. The hydrogen is used to run his dune buggy.
I don't care if you use rainwater, well water, city water, ocean water. If you don't have any fresh water, go ahead and use snow. If you don't have any snow available to you, then use salt water because there's no adverse effect to the fuel cell.
Meyer started working on this project 4 years ago. He's not a scientist. He isn't even a chemist. In fact, he never graduated from college. Meyer was determined, he says, to design something to protect this country from oil embargoes.
And we have calculated that if we take the dune buggy from Los Angeles to New York, we would roughly use 22 gallons of water.
The Pentagon flew a lieutenant colonel in last week to look at Meyer's invention. There's talk of possibly using it in the Star Wars defense program and to run army tanks. Meyer is currently perfecting a water fuel cell for cars. It will cost about $1,500. He says it won't need any maintenance and you won't have to replace it. It'll be at least 2 years before the fuel system goes into mass production. The date half.
It'll be at least 2 years before it goes into mass production. We're here in the year 2019 now. We're talking about, this is back during around about 79. You do the math. And where did the technology go? And is newer, advanced, more advanced technology, where did it go? Think about this. And we know how to do it. We know exactly how to do it. If you got a microwave oven and you understand how to microwave oven, you know how to do it.
This will be one the fuel industry hates, but it'll put a smile on the face of those who've had to say it one time or another, fill her up. I'm Ralph Robinson.
As you can see, many patents have already been received, and many more are forthcoming. To date, over 42 patents have been applied for.
Right now, we have the entrenched energy monopolies and cartels. You know, we have OPEC, and we have the seven sister oil companies that control all the oil and energy. But what people have to understand is that the people who run the energy business in this world, which is the biggest business on the planet, turning over $4 to $5 trillion a year, it's bigger than guns and drugs, it's bigger than defense, they control the newspapers, they control the governments. But these companies are so big that they regulate the government, which regulates them.
It's not free. Nothing is free. But cheap and efficient energy exchange is a viable concept.
Now, I say that everything in this universe is free energy. It's been dreamed of for hundreds of years that somewhere, someplace, as Tesla said, man will hook his machinery to the very wheel work which drives the universe itself.
The history of science is the history of the suppression of great inventions. A few classic stories. Nikola Tesla.
Nikola Tesla is regarded as the founding father of free energy. His astounding developments in the generation of alternating electrical current are still being used today. His most notorious project involved the transmission of wireless electricity into the atmosphere, which allowed for unlimited power to be freely accessed by everyone. When his financial backer, J.P. Morgan, realized that this power system could not be metered, all funding was immediately withdrawn. Tesla's electrical broadcast towers were dismantled, and through Morgan's many close connections with the media and government, Tesla's career was destroyed. In 1977, Bruce De Palma unveiled the first prototype of the N machine, an electrical generator which uses rotating magnets to generate up to 5 times more power than it takes to drive it.
I know about the fact that the Japanese government and the Indian government have ongoing projects to produce N machines for domestic power. My partner is Paramahamsa Tiwari, who is the director of the Nuclear Power Corporation of India, which operates all the nuclear plants in India.
In the late 70s, I learned from Bruce De Palma that he had carried out certain crucial experiments by rotating electromagnets.
Tiwari tested a prototype based on De Palma's N machine under laboratory conditions. The results were deemed too impressive, causing disbelief and suspicion among conservative government officials and the power consortiums that backed the project. Tiwari was forced to abandon the project completely.
It's a major breakthrough that will no doubt make motorists happy, and as Ralph Robinson explained, the Pentagon is also showing lots of interest in this project.
U.S. inventor Stan Myers released his water-powered car engine in 1988.
The Pentagon flew on Lieutenant Colonel Ed last week to look at Myers' invention. There's talk of possibly using it in the Star Wars defense program and to run army things.
Myers found it virtually impossible to secure financial backing after certain Pentagon officials paid him a visit. A number of similar inventions were developed and tested all around the world.
My best friend was killed over this matter. There's a chap here, about 10 minutes away from here, driving. He has been running his car on water since 1986, with the government's permission, provided that it keeps his mouth shut. And with regular intervals, using his own words, they keep warning him to keep his mouth shut. One of our colleagues who have been running car on the water for the 10-year period now, he reckons that it's 26 times more powerful than petrol.
You know, if you invent a better mousetrap, you know, the world may beat a path to your door. If you invent a free energy machine, there'll be a path beat to your door, but you don't want those people there.
One of the pivotal people that I encountered early in my career was Edgar Mitchell, the astronaut.
Liftoff.
Edgar J. Mitchell, an Apollo mission astronaut, founded the Noetics Institute in Southern California. The Institute's charter was supposedly to develop alternative energy systems by attracting inventors from all over the country. Mitchell became extremely interested in De Palma's end machine. He made De Palma a paltry offer to buy out the invention, which De Palma naturally refused.
He said to me that if I ever tried anything on my own in California, I would get my head blown off. So I was scared to death. The CIA operates through various very innocent-looking fronts to find out what people are thinking and what they're inventing. Now, what's more innocent than the denying institute founded on transcendental principles to help New Age inventors bring free energy into the world?
And that situation still exists in the United States today, where a person who really understands what's going on just can't get their idea out because the alternative science and medical fields have been co-opted by the intelligence services.
And he converted this little engine to run on water. This is many, many years ago. And he used it for several years. And somehow the news got out, and one day he got visitors, and he was told to dump the engine or else. 3 weeks later, the man was dead. And the coroner's finding was that he fell off the back of a train. He was drunk. Now, it happened that he didn't drink.
Even Dr. Townsend T. Brown, the electrogravitic research scientist, has on his 16-millimeter film of his lab test, which we've got here, he has guys with the black suits and black hats come into the place. You can see where the legends come from. I mean, these guys come in and they look like, you know, bad Bart the black man. I mean, it's just, it's classic. And these things do happen.
There is no progressive science in a world where every scientific idea is evaluated for its military potential.
Energy and control of energy equals power in the new world order that is emerging. If you control the energy, the way we get around, the way we get electricity, the way we have our TVs and video cameras and stuff, if you do the control of the energy, then you've got control of the people.
This demonstration here of the object fight.
So basically, every single thing that that was John Hutchinson's, by the way. If you ever go and look into some of his research and you watch the evolution of what, not the prior, that last voice that you just heard on there. If you go look into the evolution of John Hutchinson and his research, there's a lot of controversy behind the scenes of it, but you can actually watch how this man physically changes. Something happened to this man where he's not the same man that he was back whenever he was doing a lot of his experiments. So whether his experiments were hoaxes or not hoaxes, whatever, nonetheless, you can see there was something that happened to that man that changed him completely. He's a completely different guy than what he was back whenever I was studying in and looking at alternative researches and came across his work. So between people getting killed, between information being suppressed, that ought to be a wake-up call for the rest of the world out there. If you think that the government's going to give you power, all you got to do is go back and listen. They either want to assess it for military usage, or they want to suppress it for basically preserving the petrol dollar so that you know, we still have this economy built on oil and coal and whatever. And the crazy thing about it is you ain't never, ever, ever going to see a day where you run out of either one of those resources, no matter what, because you can make both of them in a lab setting. It's no big deal. It's all carbon. If you understand the physics and the chemistry of and the mechanics of what nature does and how this is actually made to begin with, it didn't take no billions of years and a bunch of giant lizards to make this this substance. It just didn't. You can make biofuel, which is a cleaner version of what the crude oil is. It's just, you know, you got to understand the physics and the mechanics of what's actually occurring before you can understand why the lie is so big when it comes down to the so-called fossil fuel. Fossil fuel in itself is a lie. And I don't care, you can bring your best science out there and you can argue all you want, but fossil fuel is a lie. You can make the same exact type of energy from everything from grass clippings to old anything that is carbon based that was biological to begin with. Basically dead plants, dead fish, dead people, or whatever. That's disgusting, but nonetheless, think about the chemistry of what biology says your body is. You're a walking generator. You're a walking power supply. You're a walking fuel source. You think they don't know that? They'd probably use you for fuel if they ever really did run out of fossil fuel. But all in the name of continuity of government. But it's all ridiculous, folks. It's all just flat out ridiculous. And the more you think about it, the more ridiculous it becomes. And if you want to see a result, then it's going to actually take people average Joes to come together and do something about it. Otherwise, the system's just going to remain the way it is. Now, I'm skipping over John Hutchinson because, like I said, when he started off doing research, he did some pretty amazing things, and the longer he went by, he was responsible for actually doing the crystal battery that people tested, and it did what he said it was going to do. And there's people that run super efficient motors, been running for years off of crystal battery technology. So he's put a lot of good into the alternative energy, but because of circumstances, has also put out a bunch of stuff that basically hinders, makes everybody in the alternative energy community look crazy. Even myself, I might make people in the alternative energy look crazy, but I'm trying to do something in a different manner in order, A, to stay alive, and B, to get information out there on the table, and C, to open people's minds, unlock their minds, and see who the free thinkers are, who the people that would be willing to build a dream team and make things happen. That's the whole key. And you come out there and put all your cards on the table, that's when the old Men in Black conspiracy becomes reality. Ask any of these research, well, you can't now because they're gone. They're all died. They either had heart attacks or fell off of a train when they never even drank. They supposedly were drunk and they committed suicide by shooting themselves in the back multiple times or whatever. Think about it. You think this is a joke? This ain't no joke. We're still going to war over what they call fossil fuels. And we're still watching as all these clean renewables are demonized in every single direction, even by the people. Even by the so-called people, the same environmentalists who claim to want to save the planet. Those are the biggest hypocrites. The Greenpeace, the whole doggone environmentalist movement are the biggest hypocrites. Because they're not out there supporting the John Bedinis and Stan Myers of the world. They're not out there protecting these people. They're too busy out there protesting and basically holding up wooden sticks and paper signs saying save the trees. And all the people that come out of college that are liberalized to the extent where they've all been indoctrinated to believe in climate change, those are the rest of the biggest hypocrites. They say they want to save the planet, but their actions speak alternately. Their actions speak opposite of what they say. And if you're listening to so-called congressmen and senators sitting around spewing out the same propaganda, then you know they're on the take as well. I don't trust environmentalists. In the standard model of environmentalism and all the protests and all that kind of stuff out there, if they really believed in what they said, they would back the alternative energy researchers that are showing them the information that we've been sharing here on Shaziz Radio for a long time. I don't respect any of the Greenpeace or the Save the Tree people, any of them. Because if they were really truthful, if they really believed in what they were doing, we would be working on solutions as opposed to the alternative, which is to stand there and protest like an idiot. People who have guns that can mop you and throw you in jail and make you look stupid, and the mainstream media that demonizes you. Oh, look at all these idiots out there protesting the coal industry or whatever. They're going to say what they need to say to further their agenda, even if it means making you look stupid, even though you're the one saying you believe the lie of climate change. They're going to make you look stupid. And when you come out against the science because it's bogus science, now you're a climate change denier. Right? There's a label for everything that you want to do that is good to make you look stupid, so that all these college educated geeks, when they get through with their indoctrination and come up out of there, they will use that same terminology to try to demonize, discourage, and basically get you to want to not tell people the truth. That's the fact. So let's move along. I jumped past the John Hutchinson. If you're interested in John Hutchinson, he's still got a channel, but you're going to see some disturbing things on there when you go. And so that's going to make you not believe in anything that he could have possibly done before or prior. He didn't used to be like that, folks. I'm telling you. Something happened to him. Whether the system got to him or whatever, something happened to him. You know, maybe he fried his own brain with some of the experiments that he did. I don't know. But it's sad. But either way, there's lots of good researchers out there, but they're not getting credit. They're not getting supported. And all these people that I come out hard-hitting on, like the environmentalists, the mainstream scientists, and even NASA. I'll hit NASA right in the teeth just as fast as I'll hit the rest of them in the teeth when it comes to mad science. Because if they're saying one thing and doing another, claiming amazing things, and you still ain't seen it on the market, well, then there's something wrong. NASA supposedly sent a probe clear to Pluto, took a picture of the thing, had enough power to light it up to get a picture out there in the darkness of space, so far away that if you look back at the sunlight was a little dot in the sky from where that to that, and then send a picture all the way back through there when you can't even keep a cell phone signal for 5 miles? Are you kidding me? And they did that way back when? You do the math. Think about what it is that I'm saying. If I'm so crazy in what I'm telling you, if all this information that I'm sharing with you is so bogus, why is there such a big movement to suppress it? Why is there so many trolls? Why is there so many so-called debunkers? Why is NASA claiming to be able to do all these amazing things, and yet we still can't find clean, renewable, alternative, free energies? You think about it. You think about the inefficiency of every single appliance that you got, how high your electric bill is, how high your gasoline bill is, or your diesel, whatever it is that you're running in your internal combustion engine, how high your energy costs are, and you think about if you took that money instead of paying the power company and invested that amount of money into a system of people, a people's power supply deal, you know, where all you people take, instead of paying your power bill, you pay each other and you get work done and you build home generating systems for everybody involved. By the time it's all said and done, you'll have your own power grid system. You won't need all the wires. You won't need to fight the government. You won't need the red tape or any of that thing. You spend thousands, if not trillions of dollars combined with all you people out there putting money into the power system and complaining about it. If you understood how that energy travels, you could save your appliances. They would last. You wouldn't have to spend no more money on them. If we could get people to the table who would actually listen to reason, then we could solve this problem. But it's going to take you and I. There's no other way around it. It's going to take you and I. Every single person listening. And if you're listening in and you don't share this podcast, then you essentially agree with the standard model. You essentially agree with NASA. You essentially agree with the government, the Greenpeace, and all the rest of the hypocrites out there that say they want to save the planet, but they don't do anything about it. They funnel their money into ridiculousness that never gets anything resolved and just stands to suppress more people, to keep people in bondage, to keep the governments and the corporations and all the energy industry, the military industrial complex into power, because it's safer that way. because of your fear of what happened to the prior researcher out there, or you're getting to the point where the ridicule, the trolling, and the debunking and the lies and propaganda have you so doggone depressed that you as an alternative energy researcher just want to throw your hands up in the air and walk away. If we're ever going to make this world a better place, we're going to have to stand united as people. And if you think you're going to get it through the system, the same system that is the beast that's eating itself alive and us with it, you're not going to get it. The governments are never, ever, ever going to relinquish power as it stands. Continuity of government is what they believe in. Collateral damage is what they're willing to go through in order to ensure that they stay in power over you. The mainstream media, the liars, the propagandists that's out there, that's the energy lie. That's the energy lie in a nutshell. They all tell you what they want you to tell you. And if you actually go back and you listen to the Stan Myers interviews and you listen to all the different alternative energy interviews that actually made it on Fox News, MSNBC, or all the other mainstream medias out there, and then suddenly a moment of silence or years of silence came over and you never heard about it again. You look at the technology that Stan Myers was doing and all these other individuals out there, 70s and 80s and early 90s and all the way up to the previous day. Every time somebody comes to the table with something that's groundbreaking, if I tell you that we could build an engine that would run on pure distilled water using the laws of physics to our advantage and all the existing technology, everything from diesel technology to the internal combustion engine, what the heck is it? It drives you nuts. Compressor technology, induction heating, everything from atomization and vaporization of water or fuel or anything like that, plasma technology, heat transfer technology, all the laws of thermodynamics used to your advantage, every bit of what we're talking about could come together to engineer an engine that would run off of electricity and heat and water, pure water, no additives whatsoever. And it can be done. The science is there. The science is proven. HHO technology, hydrogen, electric, or whatever. It's all there. Every bit of it's there. But it is never going to get done through the auto industry until it benefits the auto industry, until it benefits the government. It's never, ever going to get done. If we don't come together and put a dream team where we, the people, are in charge of the money because it's our money out of our pockets funneled into our bank, and we focus that to the people who have the talent and the energy and the doggone drive and the belief to want to make it happen, it's not going to happen. That sounds like an astronomical impossibility to bring people together like that. But if you're truly a believer in climate change, you should be the first one on the doggone bandwagon. But until we get those people with the talents, the skills, the tools to come together as we the people, not under some doggone corporate name, not under some government entity or anything like that. You can go out there and get all the doggone grants you want from the government. They will expect something in return that they end up either having the patent or they have control over your research. And we don't need the government or the corporations or the money men of the world being in control of the information, because you see where it's got us here. They got a not secure tag on there because of a corporation called Google that says that if I don't pay a certain due every so often, that they're not going to say my site's safe and I'm going to be down in the ratings. My search results are going to be way in the back. I'll be 10 million in the line of 10 million. I'll be the last one in line. And so the odds of people searching for free energy finding me is only by word of mouth. My YouTube channel says I got 8,700 and some odd subscribers. My video views are not representative of that. So I don't believe that I have that many subscribers. And as far as the radio network and how many people they say behind the scenes is actually listening to what's going on out there, the results are not indicating that I'm even getting anywhere past the ones that are the ears that are hearing right now, you, the people out there. So, if that isn't suppression, if that isn't a brick wall in front of putting the information on the table for the average Joe, if you do get this message and you don't share it, well, then you might as well just agree with the system in itself. Let's push some more in there. I'm coughing now because I'm talking too much, so I'm going to play a little bit more of this podcast.
You'd think you'd know his name every time you switch on a light or turn on your radio. His contributions are as far-reaching as those of Albert Einstein, Isaac Newton, or even his nemesis, Tom Edison. This mysterious, tall, dark Serbian invented alternating current, wireless communication, the modern electric motor, basic laser and radar technology, X-rays, neon, robotics, remote control and cellular technology. Tesla was on a mission dedicated to unlocking the secrets of nature, his greatest obsession. He left little time for relationships or business. Nikola was exceedingly vulnerable in this regard. Wall Street monster J.P. Morgan was always lurking in the background, salivating over Tesla's patents. He wanted total control of the new power industry and would even crash Wall Street in order to shake out the competition.
J.P. Morgan towered above all the Wall Street people like Samson over the Philistines.
There were repercussions. One dark afternoon, Tesla tore up his own royalty agreement with Westinghouse, a contract potentially worth billions of dollars, in order to save their company from financial doom. This insane act of generosity was never reciprocated, even after Westinghouse's death in 1913. Despite the volatile world of finance in those days, Tesla was still courted by the rich and powerful. Nikola would soon engage the biggest fish in the pond while undertaking his greatest venture, Wardenclyffe. This fantastic structure was the very culmination of Tesla's vision to create a worldwide communication system for sending sound and pictures. The primary goal was to beat Marconi for the honor of delivering the world's first transatlantic wireless signal. By no accident, Tesla's grand project was to be financed by the devil himself, J.P. Morgan.
You're a strange man indeed, Tesla. After the papers are signed, you may draw upon the house of Morgan, but it's important that I remain a silent partner. You do understand what that means, don't you, Mr. Tesla?
But Nikola had a secret. The system could also electrify the world. Wardenclyffe would provide limitless, free energy, everywhere, for everybody. When J.P. Morgan found out about this leap of technology, he wouldn't tolerate it. He knew Tesla could deliver, and the banker overlord couldn't put a meter on it.
A man always has two reasons for doing anything. A good reason, and the real reason.
Mid-construction, Morgan would cancel the contract and blackball Tesla, thus excluding him from any other investor.
Mr. Morgan, are you going to leave me in a hole? I've made 1,000 powerful enemies on your account. In 100 years from now, this country would give me much for the first honor of transmitting power without wires.
Wardenclyffe faltered, and Marconi sent his transatlantic signal. Tesla would suffer his second nervous breakdown, and never again would he regain his momentum as before. But despite his cruel fate, Nikola stayed the course. Decade after decade would pass, and he would bring forth new, fantastic inventions. No one could begin to imagine what great secrets this mad scientist kept locked inside his head. No one, except J. Edgar Hoover and his G-Men. They waited patiently for the great man to pass, and were ready to take everything that Nikola left behind.
Hey everybody, this is Jamie. Just want to get another video posted real quick. One of the first comments was, will this thing levitate in the air by itself? So I put some tape around the copper windings to protect them. Got my Neo ball here, If the coil is energized, put it in, you can see it takes off. I'm chasing around the floor. I have to hold it because it's got a lot of energy. A lot of magnetic energy in here. Alright, you can see it. I'm going to pick it up off the table. You can see it just holding itself in midair in the middle of the coil. And it's spinning. It's spinning rapidly, pretty much the same as you saw in the Roden Coil Fix 5 video. Spinning just as fast. You don't really hear it because it's basically floating in midair. Let's see if I can show you guys this. I've got to keep it straight. There it is. Can twist it a little bit. But yeah, it's floating in midair. Come here, you. Oh. Sorry, guys, about that. Yeah, pretty interesting. I've never seen any kind of a fit like this before in any of my other coils. This is a Roden 360 coil. So there's a considerable amount of magnetic field that's somehow defying gravity. I guess that ball is I don't know. It's definitely levitating in the middle of the coil all by itself. There's nothing holding it up except the magnetic field. And it is spinning quite nicely, as you can see. So anyway, just wanted to show you guys this real quick. It's pretty cool.
We have the Roden coil hooked up too. You want to steer it? And loosen it up here. There you go. If you follow these over, wires go over to here, which is along the way to powering this light here. It's a 60 watt incandescent bulb. Right here we have a magnet is magnetized. This is a standard same size magnet, but it's magnetized from one end to the other. The other one here is magnetized through the center. So we cut it in half right here so you can see the side pointing to the black is north.
Anyway, this little section right here, guys, using Roden coils and showing some pretty cool anomalies. I'm going to skip ahead a bit here.
With something amazing, something that is truly amazing. And it is a form of a battery that is mind-boggling. And the battery is right here on my left, on your right. It is a battery that produces an enormous potential difference. 10, 20 kilovolts. You see a schematic here on the transparency. You have a bucket of water here on the top, and you have glass, and the bucket of water is hiding behind here. Not that because we hide it from you, but that's the best place to be. And you see plastic tubing coming down, and the water can run out on the right, and it can run out on the left. It runs out here. There is some paint can, no top and no bottom.
He's showing a Lord Kelvin device that basically picks up a static charge. And static electricity doesn't get near the amount of attention that it should, because people don't think that it's got enough power in order to do anything, but that's where they're wrong.
And you see this paint can here, it's completely open, it's a letter A. And there's another paint can on the right, it's a letter B. Conducting can. This is also a conducting can. And this water runs into another conducting trash can. And this water also runs into a conducting trash can. Now comes the key point, that this conductor here, A, is connected through a conducting wire with C, and the conductor B, the paint can, is connected with a conducting wire through this trash can D. You let the water run for a while, and you will see in between these two points here, sparks. Even when the points are as far apart as, say, 5 millimeters, when you're talking about at least a potential difference of something like 10-15,000 volts, you will see the sparks. And you wait, see another spark. And you wait, and you see another spark. So this is a power supply. And there must be energy coming from somewhere. And so problem 4-1, which you haven't seen yet on your fourth assignment, is asking you how this works. I will demonstrate it today, and I will come back to it later. The way it works is actually quite subtle, but I want you to think about it. It's a remarkable battery, a remarkable power supply. As the water starts running, I want to draw your attention to the fact that you can almost anticipate when the spark occurs. Because the water, at the very last, is beginning to spread. It doesn't come out anymore just like a narrow cylinder, but it begins to spread. And then comes the spark. And then it goes back to running normally, and then slowly in time, it will spread, and then comes the spark. So let us get it going. Have some light here. Marcos and Bill spend a lot of time getting this going. Marcos, do I have all my lights the way you want them? I'm happy with that. There you see the two balls, which are really here. And let's first look at the sparks. So I will start the water running now. Let's just be patient a little bit. And let's see where we're seeing spark. Did you see one? Did you see the spark? Oh, you were not looking. Man, you're paying for this. Look at the two balls. Give it some time again. Have to charge up. I can already anticipate it's coming up. Coming up. Yeah. Did you see it? 15,000 volts. Let's give it a little bit more time and then we'll take a look at the water flow, which I can see. I'm close. But we can make you see the water flow. Look again. It's coming up. Did you see it? I could see it coming up.
All right, so the rest of the videos in this particular podcast or other smaller researchers doing everything from earth battery technology to, you know, pulling energy out of the air and stuff like that. So basically, I think that all the information that you just heard today, if you've been listening in through the entirety of the show, is an explanation of why it is that I call this particular show Energy Lies. Because we put out information after information for years of all different anomalies, all different types of research and technology. There is proven technology on the table that has been around for a long time. And it's not like the government don't know about it. It's not like the coal industry and the fossil fuel industry and even the auto industry or any of the other power or military industrial complex industry or whatever. It's not like they don't know about it. They know about it. But you think about this logically. If just in the United States alone you have 320 million people living in the United States, and divide that up, maybe by four or whatever for each one of these families, just being give or take conservative one way or another. But nonetheless, each of these families that live in a house that use electricity are going to be putting out several hundred dollars or more per month over a year's time. How much money that these people actually stand to gain? And we're just talking about electricity now. But you go and add that to a two-person working family that has two automobiles that they have to keep fuel in, oil in, other types of lubricants. All of those are for different industries that will make a lot more money just to keep these people driving. And when you go in a little bit even further, you have an auto insurance industry that basically gambles on whether or not you're a good driver or not. And when you get in a wreck, they don't have no problem raising your rates up anymore. And when other people get in a wreck, they don't have a problem raising your rates up anymore. So if you're under the same umbrella as any of these insurance agencies as somebody else who's out there driving, if they're a bad driver, you're going to pay the price. But the thing I'm trying to get at is the power structure is set into place so that no matter what you are doing, they're getting paid constantly. Every time you turn the lights on, they get paid. Every time you start up your car, they get paid. Every time you drive down the road, they get paid. Every time you have a breakdown on your car, they get paid. Every time you got to go to the bank for help, they get paid. Every time you get called for service to go over and fight in a war somewhere in this world, they get paid. Every time you go to court, they get paid. Every time you go to the grocery store, they get paid. They're constantly getting paid no matter what you do. And in order to ensure that, they are willing to spy on you. And in most cases, you give them permission to do so, so that they can advertise to you, so that they can tell whether you're a good driver or not. One of the red flags that you should be aware of is that if your doggone credit rating isn't very high, your insurance bill will go up. What does credit and insurance have to do with anything? So you, as the average Joe, have a really good reason why to support a dream team. You have more than enough reason. The amount of money that you could save just by putting your hand in your pocket, putting a dollar towards a group that you trust that is going to do what they say they're going to do with that money and build these devices that we keep talking about. Improve the technology irrefutable so that none of these college indoctrinated debunkers can come out of there with their screwed up technology or terminology that they can parrot right from the school book as if, Polly won a cracker. Those folks out there are causing more damage than the military-industrial complex because they're the ones supporting the military-industrial complex. They're the ones ensuring that you keep paying the military-industrial complex. The college debunkers, the Greenpeace, the so-called Save the Planet ones, the Save the Trees ones, all these people out there who profess to want to protect the environment, basically keep you down and keep you paying the doggone system. And if that were not so, their actions would speak louder than words. They would gather around all these alternative energy researchers and they would watch their back. They would support them. And then the technologies would make it out there onto the shelves. Onto your shelf. You would have a generator that would run your house. You would have a zero-point house. That used everything, like in that Free Thinkers video that I talked about, that very few people even paid attention to, and those who did didn't even get what it was that I was trying to show them that was contrary to what you've been told in school. You believe in the climate change, you believe in climate disruption, or whatever the heck it is, global warming, but yet you don't believe that energy is possible in a clean, renewable, alternative fashion enough to support those folks that are actually trying to give it to the world, the Teslas of the world, the John Bedinis, the John Searles, the Stan Myers, the Japanese over there in building their hybrid electrics, or even the completely HHO electrics. There's a guy out there in, doggone it, where in the heck is he at? I think he's the same place Jermaine Fish Week's at, but I can't remember right off the top of my head, but he's, look it up, he built the Koenigsegg. It's a half-gas, half-electric vehicle that is the fastest vehicle out there on the market. And it looks good, too. This man engineered this thing. But he took two separate technologies and combined them to make a really powerful machine. Even that machine could be improved upon. With a little bit of extra engineering, that car would exceed 300 miles plus an hour. Whatever that is in kilometers per hour, I don't know. We even got two measurement systems. It's crazy. But it helps to keep muddy in the water. So, you know, if you're on metric system and we're on the conventional standard system, whatever they call that, you know, it just makes it a little harder for everybody to try to communicate back and forth. We got to figure out a way to get ourselves around all that. We got to figure out a way to get ourselves around the egos. We got to figure out a way to get around the doggone greed portion of the deal. All the things that people in People for People chat room talk about all the time, and over here at Shaziz Radio that talk about it. You know, we got to get past these things. We got to figure out a way that you and I can come together and we can make these things happen. Because, like I've proved over and over again in today's show alone, the system's not going to help you out. Hydrogen, water engines, hydrogen technology, fuel cells, or whatever, all of those are proven science. Plasma drive systems are proven science. All these different technologies, thermal technologies, wind technologies, hydroelectric's been proven for hundreds of years. But nonetheless, it's maddening to sit around and know that there is a solution to the problem, and yet you cannot seem to gather the masses to understand that together they get it done. Instead of trying to lobby the beast that's basically eating itself right now, that is standing on your neck and still has you paying an electric bill, still has you paying ridiculous fuel prices for what is so-called fossil fuels, and is willing to sell you natural gas that they cracked up the ground in order to get this natural gas out, and then trying to say, well, it was an act of God when a sinkhole pops up underneath your house, or you're driving down the road and the next thing you know, a sinkhole opens up and you go down in it. Oh, it was an act of God then. God didn't exist up until that point. But the insurance companies will monopolize on God. But you take it how you want it, folks. You take your education out there that you got, your indoctrination, and you make yourself as proud of yourself as you possibly can. You go out there and protest the governments. Go out there and protest the military. Go out there and protest the police. Go out there and protest everything to your heart's content. But at the end of the day, you are not going to achieve what you say you want to achieve, which is bringing around fairness and equality to the world and bringing food to the hungry and homes to the homeless and healing to the sick. If you want to get it done, then my grandfather used to say the best way to get anything done to your liking is to get up and do it yourself. You're the best person for the job. And if you don't believe that, and if you don't think that you got anything to offer, and if you don't think that you're strong enough to do anything, then first off, you must be completely broke. You ain't got so much as a dollar in your pocket that you could put into the pot of a bunch of other people of like-minded will that will be willing to do the work. There ain't no machine shop that's going to work for free. There ain't no people out there that's going to work for free. And so it's going to take us combining our resources in order to get something accomplished. And I'm not asking you to send me money. I'm asking you to find the people that you trust out there and send each other money to bring your tools together with their tools and take all these solutions and put them into action. We've been talking about this and talking about it forever, and people keep saying, oh, I'm standing on a soapbox. They're saying I'm on a rant. Are saying all you ever do is talk about it. You don't ever do nothing. Which is a bold-faced lie, because anybody who would say that obviously doesn't know what I do. I've built machines. I've got things ready. I've actually stopped working on alternative energy until I find out a friend of mine's still alive after telling him how to fix something, and it did exactly what I said. Once his generator up and ran like I said it was going to run, I even sent him a prototype of a neodymium magnet accelerator. I haven't heard from him since. Now, one of two possibilities. Either he took the information and ran, or somebody did something to him. Or maybe he's just out of country. I don't know. But why should I keep investing more time and more effort into trying to put this information on the table if nobody's willing to pick up, take off, and run with it? I don't even care if you take the idea, claim it for yourself, patent it, and take it out there and make you $1 billion. I don't care. Just take the information and do something with it. I'm not looking to get rich. I'm not looking to be famous. All I want is to do what it is that they said needed to be done to ensure that that little child over there in that supposed third world country can get some doggone food, for Pete's sake. And so that homeless guy has a home to go to. And so that that person who's sick can afford the oxygen treatment, hyperbaric oxygen treatment that is so doggone expensive that they'd rather radiate somebody into oblivion and make their hair fall out and destroy their immune system, torture them to death, instead of curing them. We have medical solutions. We have mechanical solutions. We have every type of energy solution that you could possibly imagine. We have all the answers to every single question ever asked. We have everything right now. What is it going to take to motivate the people out there to, at the very least, share information? Write down this website. Write down People for People's website. Pass it around on a piece of paper. Write it on a wall. Get people here. Get people activated to move around and do something to build things in their communities. We can clean up the plastic. We can clean up the toxic waste. We can clean up the radioactive material. We can clean this world up so spotless it would blow your mind. But we can't do it if you listening right now won't do anything as simple as sharing a message, sharing a podcast, sharing a link. Get people in this chat room. These chat rooms should lock up. They should not be six people in one and five or four in another. These chat rooms should be so incredibly full that you would see the trolls move in and try to discourage everybody, try to muddy up the water. But these chat rooms should be so cram-packed that they would be blocked. They'd shut down. We should be shutting servers down right now. There should be so much traffic to People for People Radio Network and so much traffic to Shaziz Radio Network if these people were serious about what they said that they wanted. They said they wanted to save the planet. We gave them the solutions. They said they needed clean, renewable, alternative energy. We gave them the solutions. And we're still putting it on the table. All I can say is it's all up to you now. If the message makes it past the brick wall, it's because you jumped the wall with that message in your hand and you handed it to somebody else who didn't know. That's what mad science is all about. Peace and love, everybody. I've said all I can say. I don't want to get upset and end up walking away from this. I don't. Because I believe in the urgency and I believe in the capabilities. I believe in you and I believe that if we'd come together, there ain't nothing that we can't do. And as far as resources, we could put our pennies together. We could put our recyclables together. If you think you ain't got no money and you couldn't put a dollar in on a pot with a group that you trust, then all you need to do is go out there and pick up some aluminum, pick up some plastic, pick up some wood, pick up some recyclables, take them down there, drop them off to the man, go out and buy you a snack with a portion of the money, throw that other money into the group that you believe in, the dream team in your community. And together we'll use this technology to share information worldwide, and we will uplift our brothers and sisters around the globe. If you think it can't be done, then you believe in exactly what Henry Ford said. He said, if you think you can or you think you can't, you're right. Peace and love. You've been listening to Mad Science. Take care.
Was that ant that stood up to me?
Yeah, but we can forget about him.
Yeah, it was just one ant.
Ooh.
One ant.
Yeah, you're right. It's just one ant.
Yeah, boss. They're puny.
Puny? Say, let's pretend this brain is a puny little ant.
Did that hurt?
Nope.
Well, how about this one?
Are you kidding?
Well, how about this?
You let one ant stand up to us, then they all might stand up.
Those puny little ants outnumber us 100 to 1. And if they ever figure that out, there goes our way of life.
It's not about food. It's about keeping those ants in line. That's why we're going back.
Does anybody else want to stay?
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission: to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Crap.
Operator, give me the number for 911.
I got a laptop. I make music with my friends. I've got a laptop, baby. I make music with my friends. There it is.
God's name is going on in here. What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch.